Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and on this case, celebrate National IPA Day. And talk about Alex Jones.
Indeed, we are celebrating National IPA Day.
I don't know if it's actually that. I just saw a sponsored post on Twitter.
Sure.
Probably
whatever.
An ad.
It's a made-up bullshit thing, but fine. Well, drink every day is National IPA Day if you're an alcoholic like me.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Fair enough.
What are we doing?
We're doing a show about Alex Jones here, this podcast that we do.
Oh, shit. When did we start doing that?
About 2 years ago. Too long we've been doing this dumb show.
Yeah. So, frankly, since I've completely blanked out, what is this show about and why am I here?
You're here because you are a knowledgeable man, because you startle easily.
That is a very good point.
You're the audience surrogate if our audience is very angry about climate change. That's why you're here. I'm here because I spend way too much time looking into and researching and just swimming in the pond that is conservative propaganda and con men.
That sounds like a really interesting show.
It has its moments. The reviews are in, though. No one wants to review it because it's too long. I assume that's why.
Probably.
Anyway, today, Jordan, we have an interesting show. I'm going to be straight up at the jump.
Straight up.
Now
tell me.
Like I'm Paula Abdul and you're MC Scat Cat.
Do you really want to love me forever?
Oh. I'm going to be straight up and say, I think that our episode is going to be okay. But I... hopefully good. But I am not into this episode that I listened to today. I am not into it. I did not enjoy it.
I love so many late night shows. They always start out with, hey guys, we got a great show for you tonight. Here's who we got coming up. I want you to, you would run it and just be like, dude, these people are mediocre. This is going to be an okay show.
I'd be Colbert coming out. I think we're going to be all right tonight. I think it's going to go okay.
We have a lot of people that you're really not that excited about. We have Bill
Alex
Paxton.
So
everybody likes Bill Paxton?
You know who else
too
everybody
excited
likes?
About Bill Paxton. Nice transition.
And somebody who we're all excited about.
New donor. There we go. Double transition.
Shout out to a new donor. This is very exciting because I think this gentleman is also from Sweden, based on the fact that his last name includes one of those O's with a dash through it.
Ooh, you can't be having those.
I'm going to guess, but also that could be any number of languages that aren't necessarily American English. But very excited also because he sent me a message that included, you don't need to respond to this, which always gets me very excited.
If you want Dan to respond, just let him know that there's no pressure.
That could help things.
There's no pressure.
I appreciate everything very very much. Thanks for supporting the show and becoming a policy wonk. Thank you so much, Christian.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christian.
We appreciate it. And if you'd like to support the show, you can go to our website and click the button that says support the show. That would be appreciated. Also, some people have been asking about ways that they can donate not on a monthly basis, and I understand that's something that people would maybe appeal to some folks.
For sure.
Recurring payments is kind of a pain in the ass, you know, with like...
not just that, but it's a commitment. It is something that maybe you forgot was going to be on your bank statement, and if you're like us, if you forget something's going to be on your bank statement, sometimes you're going to get an overdraft fee.
Sometimes it can be trouble. And if you are in that camp there, we do have a PayPal you can send a donation to, and if you are interested in doing that, please just send us a message, or I posted it in our Facebook group, Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant. I don't want to put it on the show because it's my, like, private
personal
email.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jordan, today we're going to be going over the August 1st, 2018 episode of the Alex Jones Show.
Wait, that's in reality.
Yeah,
times.
It's in present day.
That's not good.
Well, I feel like we owe it to the world because Alex is, he's going to court this week.
He's from what I've heard, he's melting down. A lot of people talking.
People talking.
I'm not supposed to know anything about it, and people are talking so much that I know that there's like, that family. They're gonna get him. Or they're not gonna get him?
He's had his trials, beginning, or I think, if I understand correctly, earlier this week he had, a motion to get this thing out of court. That
dismiss.
His lawyer, motion to dismiss hearing that I don't think is going to work out. The lawyers, I've read a bunch of articles about this, and from what I can tell, the lawyers' arguments seem to boil down to, like, do you remember when he was last on trial? It's great that we're talking about a guy
last
where,
trial on Alex Jones.
The last time he had to present himself as a performance artist,
yeah,
in order to have his on-air rants not be admissible in court,
right,
in his child custody case.
I'm just a joker. Nobody would believe me.
Right, and it's important for his lawyers to draw that line, because if he's not playing a character and that really is him on air, then it's relevant to how he acts off air.
Right.
And so he had to walk that really fine line of, like, I'm performing, but I also
I'm
really
also
mean
real,
this.
But I'm doing this in a way so that I, right, but I also believe it, but yeah.
He has to walk that incredibly fine line in order to not alienate his audience, but at the same time not put him in the hopper where his videos can be played in court.
Right.
So now,
because that would not go well for a jury.
That would be tough.
Yeah.
So now the new struggle and the new line that he's having to walk, or his lawyers are, is really interesting to me, and it is a thing where he has to still act like he knows things for his audience's sake.
Right.
But at the same time, his lawyers have to argue that no reasonable person would believe that he's telling the truth.
All right. Well, then you do want him to play his videos in court.
Yeah, that would help their case.
Yeah, that would help their case immensely.
Just screaming nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, no, well, this isn't true. His lawyers debunk him in court.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the issues with that is that one of the main parts of the Sandy Hook family's argument and their claim is that he's put them at risk. Because of things like that lady who was threatening Mr. Posner,
yes,
because she watched InfoWars and believed him to be a crisis actor.
Right, 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 right.
And so in order to get them off the hook for influencing her, they have to paint her as the crazy one.
Right.
She's crazy because she believed this.
Right.
But if you make that argument full-throatedly, then you're leaving it so like, oh, no one should believe anything he says.
Yeah.
So he has to walk this really fine line. And I think that's fascinating because what all of these cases, I don't think this is intentional, but it's going to build up a body of like weird lines he's had to walk in court. So we already know that he has to walk the line of performance and reality.
Yes.
Now he's having to walk the line of, you shouldn't believe me. Why do you believe me?
But you should totally believe me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then the other case that's pending, and I believe this one also had a hearing at some point this week. I can't remember the guy's name, but it's the guy who was misidentified as the Parkland shooter.
Uh-huh.
Alex Jones and Kit Daniels, one of Alex's reporters, are being sued because they misrepresented this guy,
right,
as the shooter because he had like an Antifa shirt on,
course,
or
course,
like a communism shirt on. And so they used that to try and conflate this guy with the actual Nicholas Cruz, the shooter.
Yeah.
And the due diligence that any journalistic outfit would have done is reverse image search this and find out it's not the same guy, never report this. And Alex, an InfoWars argument is like, well, we accurately reported on something that was posted on 4chan. Which is not journalistic due diligence.
Which, however, means that they are the ones who are at fault. And in fact, we were not reporting on the Parkland shooter.
Right.
We were reporting on the reporting done by 4chan.
Which opens up another really troubling possibility that I was in one of the articles I was reading. I think it's a really good point. And that if that's acceptable, then any InfoWars reporter could anonymously post something on 4chan
and then
report it as if it's news. There's a self-creating mechanism you've established here if you allow that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I
assume it will be allowed.
Probably. So the reason I bring up that case is the line he's going to have to walk there is like, am I really a journalist at all? Do I have the protections of journalism, or am I just a dickhole yelling?
Yeah.
You know, like, is there any reason for me to have to follow like basic standards of what journalists adhere to?
Yeah.
And I think that that's going to be the next hurdle that he's going to have to jump over with his lawyers. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out, but
here's my quick and dirty.
This is the reason why we're doing a modern episode, is because we can't be an Alex Jones podcast and not sort of dive into this a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Here's my short analysis of this. One, No reasonable person would believe what he's saying.
Right.
Which protects him from the consequences of saying that no reasonable person would believe what he's saying, because the people who believe what he's saying are unreasonable and therefore are going to make any excuse to continue believing what he's saying.
It's kind of an Ouroboros.
So, you know, no reasonable person would believe this. And that's because the truth is unreasonable.
Right.
And there you go. Right. Done. Solved.
Yeah. And in the same way that, like, he had to give a apology to Hamdi Ulukaya and James Elefantis, he had to post these videos of him apologizing and being like, I never meant to imply they did all the things I said they did.
Right.
And then all of his listeners are like, oh yeah, he just had to do that because they were
going to
get him.
And he's going to have to do this.
Right. They're just going. So at the end of the day, I hope that the people who were wronged by him in some way get what they're looking for out of these cases, but I don't think at the end of I really don't see how this is going to really negatively affect him with the people who are already on board.
Right.
Because what you said, they're unreasonable.
Exactly.
So, who knows?
I
hope for the
best.
What
if the prosecution just called a bunch of Alex Jones listeners as witnesses and just started asking them questions?
Oh, man.
Man, that would convince anybody that no reasonable person would listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah, but then if you... I don't know what that
God
means.
God damn it. Why am I but running I, the defense for Alex?
But I don't know what that means. Like, if you establish in court that he doesn't have any responsibility because no reasonable person would believe him, then where does that leave you? That leaves him free to say anything he wants at that point. That's not good.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out, but...
I don't know. The Seth Rich case that was just defeated... against them, kind of gives me kind of like a clearer idea of where this is going to go. Is
not
that
great.
Everybody's like, yeah, we agree. They fucked you over, but surprise, nothing that the justice system can do for you. So the justice system is inherently incapable of addressing unjust situations.
And that's the real nightmare, is Alex Jones goes to court against Sandy Hook families and somehow isn't in the wrong. You know, like, you never want to open up that possibility as, like, this is a potential outcome of this.
Right.
Because then he has years and years of, I beat the Sandy Hook families in court.
Right.
It's not a good brag.
So what we're going for in our show is, if we were ever to be sued, our defense lawyers would say, no unreasonable person would listen to these people.
Then we're screwed.
No. That's the trick. That way I can continue to call for violence. However, because our show is so inherently reasonable,
they would all reject what
they
you're
would
saying.
All reject it. Yeah. All of our listeners know full well that I'm not going to actually wish violence on somebody. So were a listener to perhaps say murder Jeff Bezos in his home and pee in his throat, then we would say, you know, nothing. They would be like, look at how reasonable our listeners are.
Even as Alex Jonesian parody, I don't like this. So, today, Jordan, like I said, August 1st, 2018, here is an out-of-context drop.
And Trump is about saying, you're powerful, you're beautiful, you're an overcomer, you're amazing. That's so Christ-like. I mean, my gut goes, Trump.
Trump is Christ-like. That's excessive.
I think it's more like he needs to eat better.
Yeah, oh yeah.
If his gut is going
Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need some
even
greens.
Even if it's saying another word, just going, then no, you gotta... Try fiber. Try fiber.
Unless you're like Jay Sherman from The Critic. Peas. Is it peas? I don't remember what his stomach says.
Dude, I don't care. I love that show so much.
It's a great show. Unlike
Puss, I will eat your soul.
It is a great show. Unlike Alex Jones on August 1st. This is rough. So the first clip we're going to play here right at the beginning of the Alex's episode, he's complaining about how even Fox News is attacking him.
What?
And that's a concerted effort that obviously it's a character assassination job. And we'll see where he goes from there.
One of their morning shows viciously lie about me for 10 minutes this morning, America's Newsroom, trying to outdo MSNBC. I guess the young ladies on the program, we've got the clip, we may play it later, are just absolutely living on their own planet. And, of course, they'll never actually show what I've said. They'll actually never show what I'm doing. They just sit there and regurgitate the same anti-free speech, anti-gun garbage.
What garbage?
No matter how many times I clarify or how many times I apologize for the media representing or how many times I reach out to the families, you see the very people on the news saying, he won't stop attacking us. He won't quit.
So the issue here is that Alex has, in, you know, more recent days, said that he believes that Sandy Hook was real, which is all good and well. But what he doesn't do is ever say, I did say it was fake.
Right.
He pretends that he never said that. And what people take issue with is the damage that was done because of his actions in the past. They're not saying, oh, you keep saying it's fake, although he did for a really long time. And just because he says no one ever plays clips.
I wonder if we're going to play the clip again.
Here's one.
Also, was Oregon a false flag like Newtown?
Well, there's a...
There's one?
There's a definite, you know, you're saying it's a false flag. All right, cool, cool, cool. So, the other issue in that clip that I take very, very serious issue with is the way he presents it as, like, I've apologized, but what he doesn't say is I've apologized for what I did. He says, I apologize for what the media lies about.
I had just written that down. I had just written down, for the media misrepresenting. I was like, hold on.
He does that all the time. Like, in that video that he put out trying to reach out to these Sandy Hook families, it was all about, I'm sorry that the media has hurt you with lying about me,
which
is so manipulative, so evil. It's next level irresponsible. And I don't, sure, I think it's great that he no longer gets on air and says, no kids died there. I think that's wonderful. It's not good that it's the end result of a journey. You should probably, you know, have started there.
That'd be a good place to start.
Possibly. But it's really, it's just a bummer, man. It's a real serious bummer that he refuses to own up to and accept what he was a part of. That's it. That's the conversation that people are mad about. And the fact that he won't, like, it would hurt him not at all to come on air in any of the times that he's done his fake apologies and just say, we fucked up. We fucked up. You know, we thought we saw something that we didn't see. We thought Anderson Cooper's nose disappeared because of a green screen, but it turns out it's a compression error that's only in one version of the video. It doesn't happen in high res versions of the video. We found that stuff out and everything isn't as suspicious as we thought. Rob Dew's dad didn't say the thing, or his uncle didn't say the things that we were saying that he said about investigating Sandy Hook and how he thinks it's a cover up. All this, look, we fucked up. People fuck up from time to time. We're sorry. We'll do better in the future. That's all he ever would have had to say. No one would sue him. He'd be in the clear. I bet he could say that now and make this all go away.
Yeah.
And he won't. I don't understand
100%
why.
Agree.
I don't understand why.
What do you mean you don't understand why?
Well, I know ego and all that shit. But
there you go.
I don't
Problem solved.
But I still don't understand.
Slice it there.
I don't understand why people can't just accept, like, we fucked up on that one.
Because he can't. He's not a guy. He's It is a fundamental issue with hubris that it cannot be defeated by the person experiencing it.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of that. The word is only used for people who cannot help but fall deathly into their fucking sickness.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's what's going to happen.
Yep.
It's fascinating.
Hoisted
but it's,
on his own petard,
yeah,
as it were.
Yeah.
So in this next clip, he just sort of repeats, the theme.
Yeah.
Of his own self-defense, which is really, really weak.
So they tried to ridicule and demonize us and lie about us once they figured out people were listening, but it's way too late.
Ha, that's true.
And that's why every channel, including Fox News with Bill Hemmer, is up there just spewing total, absolute lies about me and never showing a clip of what I've said, never showing any proof of what I've done. That's always a little telltale sign for you. And all the fake faux outrage, we got a low-res copy. We're going to find a good one. We're good. That shaking camera can make me nauseous. Thanks. And it's just illustrative of how these frauds work.
So, I mean, that was just a little bit of an off-air conversation on air. And again, he's complaining that no one plays clips. Whoops.
Sandy Hook is a synthetic, completely fake, with actors, in my view, manufactured. I couldn't believe it at first. I knew they had actors there, clearly, but I thought they killed some real kids. And it just shows how bold they are that they clearly used actors. I mean, they even ended up using photos of kids killed in mass shootings here in a fake mass shooting in Turkey. So, yeah, or Pakistan. The sky is now the limit.
So if any of you are interested in any of those specific pieces of bullshit that he's spitting, go ahead and look into them. They're all lies.
Yeah.
So, Alex, I mean, I know that one of the things that he's really comfortable with is that, like, that's outside the statute of limitations. That was in January of 2015. He knows he can't be punished for that. So denying that he said any of these things is going to play fine. Like, he knows that that can only be used as, like, circumstantially trying to prove that current statements that he's made is a continuation of him saying that this is fake.
That's right. That's why when we first talked about the lawsuit, that was your big deal, is that the issue is that there's a statute of limitations on this. Mm-hmm. And so all the good stuff they can't use.
But they can.
But they can't use it the way that it should be used.
They can, but only if the court establishes that his statements that fall within the statute of limitations illustrate like an intent to say it was fake.
Yeah.
And then these past things, they still can't be, like, you can't sue him for that clip.
Yeah.
But they can be used to establish a pattern and intent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just bullshit. I mean, it's the most cowardly thing in the world. Like, you know that you said that, Alex. You know that you've said stuff like that over and over again. It's not, this isn't a surprise. You've had Steve Pachenik on constantly talking about how it was fake, even this year. Steve Pachenik has been on his show.
This year?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. He has. And he fucking confirmed. He said it again.
And he said that Alex has probably, like, been threatened into saying that it's not fake.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, I don't know. Look,
And Alex had to do the whole, like, waffle, like, well, I mean, there's a lot of... And then he just bailed. He just punted on the whole thing.
And then he moved Steve Pachenik down to the... Yeah. You don't get to hang out with Owen Sawyer and David Knight now.
Right.
I don't want to talk to you for a bit. You're in the doghouse. So,
or the hurricane house, as it were.
So that was excessive, but I just wanted to, while Alex is complaining that other people don't play clips and don't show these things, I know that we've played those clips before, but in case you haven't heard those episodes, we do.
Yeah.
And that is why he will never fuck with us. Because he can't use that argument. Anyway, a lot of this episode is him talking about Google being evil. And
agreed.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we're all on board.
Yep.
Good for you.
Not going.
Oh, did you just get there?
Not going to take too much issue with that. But here is a clip that goes into some weird places after he is complaining about Google.
Google was set up by the NSA, the CIA, and DARPA, and was supposedly a utility of American internet to promote freedom worldwide. But America's been captured, so now it is a globalist tool. And the president is getting informed and educated about this, and that's the main reason they're on every channel in the country lying about me today, saying I bully children, and I do all this, and I do all that, and I beat up a transgender kid, and they don't show you where or when. It's all lies.
So that was from the video that got taken down from YouTube, the one about the drag queens and stuff like that.
Right.
In an article in Daily Dot, they said that he was attacking children, but they made it very clear that that wasn't talking about the video of the guy who attacks a child that also got taken down from YouTube. They make it clear that he is attacking these trans children in that clip. And they don't say that he's physically attacking them or beating them up. He is attacking them in that clip. Like, he is coming at kids pretty hard.
Once again, in Alex's defense, if they were saying what he was saying, they would be lies.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they are not saying what he says they're saying, nope. So they're telling the truth.
Yep. It's all straw man shit.
Yeah.
It's so boring.
Pathetic.
They've been green-lighted with propaganda like you only see before they invade an innocent country. This is war drum level beating that has now reached the level Trump was being attacked during the campaign. I am now as demonized as the president. And they want to turn the president against me and my audience and then have you turn against him.
I'd be fine with that.
Even if the president ever needs to throw me under the bus, I say go ahead and do it, sir. But I don't think it's a smart move, and I think you already know that. Because they'll just keep misrepresenting and keep misrepresenting, and the president and others are being informed about this entire attack profile and how they're going to use it in a major campaign, not just in 2018, but 2020. They're going to run against Trump on Alex Jones.
No shit.
I can already see this in the tea leaves.
No shit.
I talked to some high-level folks in the Pentagon, the CIA. They concur and are fully aware of this. And they're not just going to try to take the president out with this. They're going to try to take the entire First Amendment out. Now.
Okay.
Sure.
Excessive, perhaps.
That was the first start.
The First Amendment part, bull hockey, I would
could
say.
Could be.
But the idea that he needs to consult with CIA agents about whether or not people are going to use Alex Jones against Trump in elections? No fucking shit they are. You are the clown. You are, like, if there is somebody who's worse than Trump, I guess maybe not worse. But like,
no, I'm going to go with Trump is surprisingly worse than Alex Jones by a large, and not just in relative terms to power. I mean, like, just as a human being.
No, I agree.
I think Trump, Alex might actually be an okay father, and Trump,
I don't think that's the case.
Okay, but
Alex
enough.
Is worse at this.
Oh, yeah. Like, absolutely.
Like, Trump is at least a little bit media savvy and what have you. Like, he's able to spin things that are negative about him into positive somehow.
And he's transcended it by now just deciding that rather than being media savvy, he's just going to remove all media but his own.
Right, right. Whereas Alex just is, like, kind of angry and combative whenever things are not going great. And miraculously, it seemed to work, but he doesn't win these things.
No.
He just doesn't lose somehow. It's a push.
Yeah.
You know, it's this weird, unsatisfying gamble, like at the poker table when you're like, you both have ace jack
yeah.
or whatever, and you end up splitting the board. It's like you thought you were going to win hundreds of dollars on a hand, and then all of a sudden, nope.
Yeah.
Oh, bruh, bruh. That's what it is with Alex. He's taking these gambles and screaming about how everyone's coming after him, and then he ends up in court and has to do an apology, and then he
it's a tie. It's a Alex push. Is the perpetual tie.
It's just deflation over and over again. It's a balloon. It's a balloon that's being inflated. It's like, oh my God, this is going to blow up. This is going to be crazy. And then just a slow deflation of the balloon. No tension release at all. Just so disappointing.
Yeah. You know what? That's what he said though has kind of made me view something a little bit differently. He is not, what is he doing? What is he doing when he's saying that if Trump needs to throw him under the bus, then he's fine with it?
He's saying,
has he started to believe his own bullshit on this?
Yeah.
Like he has to know that Trump is a pile of shit, right?
Well, he's trying to, I think, if I were to get into his head, which is sort of what I've been doing this whole time, I think what he's doing is trying to show honor a little bit and that, like, I am such a loyal person that if you need to throw me under the bus, I understand.
It's
I
like performative. Seppuku. It's like performative sacrifice.
Yeah, entirely. Yeah. But it's also a manipulation in terms of, like, he thinks that Trump is going to hear that and be like, fuck yeah, I never have to throw that guy under the bus or something like that. Yeah, I think that, yes. The short answer, he does believe his own bullshit.
Yeah, because there's no way, but that's not the Alex that I know. That's not blustery. That's not, that's not like that. I'm the last bulwark against this. That's not like they're trying to take me down. It's like subservient in a way that I don't find acceptable from Alex.
Are you kidding?
I don't.
He said he would die for Trump.
I know, but he also said that he had ISIS up his dirty asshole. I'm hoping for, where's the Alex, man?
This guy's all over the
place.
This
is pathetic. This is why I hate modern days, because Alex is a fucking dog with his tail between his legs. He's pathetic.
I will say that there is a moment that is coming up where Alex shows a tiny bit of backbone, but it goes away pretty quickly.
Oh.
And it's actually really pretty funny.
Okay.
It's one of the few things in this episode that I was like, oh Nelly. So in the sex clip, Alex talks about Google and how they're helping China.
So he actually read the Intercept piece.
I think he read the headline.
Yeah.
Not sure he read the entire article, but
fair.
Fair play.
Yeah. We're all on board.
But
Google's evil.
But
good call.
But he's like, okay, so China's doing all this evil stuff and Google is helping them. And then everybody's response is they're a private company. They can do what they want.
Right.
And then he extrapolates from there in a rather unfortunate way.
There's the response. Well, they're a private company. You know, if Google wants to go over to China and help find out where Falun Gong are, who are practicing Buddhism secretly, and have them taken to facilities and have their organs harvested, that's a good thing. Hell, then why not say Hitler was a private company? That's what he was. The Nazis were a private, corrupt, evil company. So it's a private company. You know, Hitler can do what he wants. They'll probably have the New York Times tomorrow. Jones says Hitler can do what he wants. You damn liars. You scum. That's what they do, man. Most of the stuff you see isn't in quotes, or it's like one word quotes, then another word quotes, which they think the public doesn't understand. That means they're taking words like refrigerator magnet game, different words, and putting them together.
So, never seen you do that.
Oh, never. Also, the New York Times did not say that Alex says Hitler can do whatever he wants. So we can report on that.
Can we?
Yeah, they didn't take the bait on that one.
At this,
those
now,
damn liars.
Admittedly,
scum.
The New York Times has not replied for comment at time of pressing. So we can't be sure.
Alex is fucking up that metaphor because...
Also, didn't he just make a perfect argument against capitalism?
Big time. But... Also, he fucked up the metaphor or the simile, because what it would be is like, okay, so Google is helping China, who are doing horrible things. That doesn't make Hitler the company.
No.
That makes Hitler China in that equation, and people who helped the Nazis, like George Bush's dad.
Or Siemens.
Or Fred Koch's dad. Or Fred Koch himself, excuse me.
Yeah.
Know, these people who helped the Nazis, they are the ones who you should, you know, reflect with Google as opposed to Hitler himself.
So it's just, almost like
this is me being an English teacher.
Right. Just,
it
no,
bothers,
I understand.
It bothers me.
I understand
when people mess up.
No, it was a terrible metaphor that didn't make any sense.
That's why Alex couldn't pass the fucking ACT.
Although on the other hand,
SAT.
Both. You can't pass or fail either of those. They're just relative benchmarks.
You can in my book.
Okay, fair enough. But if you do want to say that his metaphor was good. And you start talking about governments as private contractors, because essentially what they're supposed to be
that
is
that makes the UN OSHA.
Yeah, it's essentially supposed to be an extrapolation of the public good,
right?
And instead, it is acting as its own private contractor, which you could consider our government to be doing at this point in time.
Yeah,
because they're not really they're not even for profit now. They're just funneling things to for-profit companies. So you could say that the government has now functionally taken over the part of the middleman between private companies and the what we would call human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And you would say that if they're acting as a private contractor and they're acting illegally or perhaps hatefully or propping up I don't know how many regimes like Saudi Arabia funding weapons that they're sending to use in the fight against Yemen and the Qatar bullshit is beyond reasonable, and you could say that perhaps that is the function of capitalism to disregard human life and instead to fucking maximize profits over every goddamn thing else. So Alex has made a perfect point to why we should abolish the one thing that he says is the best.
Ding, ding, ding.
God, I hate him.
He's really dumb. And this next clip is also pretty dumb.
And then they got the young people of China to kill at least 30 million people by hand, including their own parents. And then another 40 million starved to death. And then that was just under Mao. And then David Rockefeller wrote in the New York Times when Mao died. You can just type in David Rockefeller editorial praising Mao, click images, it'll come up.
Why are you clicking images?
Why are you clicking images?
Google's buried it, but you can still find it.
Pretty sure it's on the first page.
And he's like praising somebody that killed.
So, go to Google right now.
Don't click images though.
No, just safe search off, because then you get the nudie version of it. So you Google David Rockefeller. I don't know if you Google like Alex's, like clearly he doesn't know the name of the article.
Right.
The editorial is called From a China Traveler. We know this because we went over it.
Because we've gone over this.
Yeah, in the, end game coverage and what have you. You Google it, it's the first thing that fucking comes up. From a China Traveler. Oh, the New York Times even still has it posted. It's the number one response on here.
Yeah, but that's the New York Times. Google is suppressing it.
Oh, my God. There's so many other versions of it that have been posted here. And then also a bunch of really weird conspiracy theory sites.
Of course.
That post that.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, good on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about coverage. It's all about coverage.
Yeah.
All publicity is good publicity, Dan.
Also, Alex said that it was when Mao died he wrote that. That article was written in 1973. Mao died in 1976.
Petty. Petty.
I'm not. It's not. That's a substantive claim.
I know.
So this might be a little petty. In this next clip, Alex tries to rewrite his own Sandy Hook history.
All right.
And let's see if this passes.
Does he use crisis actors to demonstrate how different he is now?
No.
No?
Let's see. Let's see if he just passes any kind of smell test for us as people who have watched his transformation over time.
Okay.
I entertained people looking at anomalies and things with Sandy Hook, and then when I found out that some of the anomalies were just that, anomalies, but I believe that the shooting happened. But we have so much lying in history by government and others, it's totally normal to be able to question something. But doesn't matter. All these years later, it's then misrepresented what I've said and what I've done in lawsuits and in the news. But before I was ever sued, I said, you know, I can't say that it's fake. I think people have a right to question anything they want. They can say the moon's made of cheese if they want.
True.
Can they?
But I know mass shootings happen, and they're a bad thing. They're very rare. And I just don't like them when people
are
involved in those type of things. They then become anti-gun and try to tell gun owners that we're to blame.
Ah.
But see, that hasn't really been a good sales job, telling gun owners you're to blame for what another Prozac head with an illegal gun does.
Who is also a gun owner.
Just kind of make it like Alex Jones is saying bad things about the families and the victims of Newtown, which isn't true, and then never show the quotes or never show the statements. Just say it. You get to recycle the tragedy, the anti-gun tragedy, over and over in the media.
I'd just like to refer everyone back to that clip we just played where he said they were all actors and no one died. So, fuck you, you pile of shit.
Not just nobody died, that he thought some people died, but it was proven that nobody died.
He was convinced that it was all actors.
It's even worse than if he had just denied it outright. He then implied that he was convinced.
We've complained about this and gone on this journey many times. The reason I say, like, fuck you sincerely from that clip is like, he's talking about how he later said that it did happen, which is fairly accurate. He did come around to that eventually, maybe because shit was getting too hot.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the issue. The issue is you pretend you never did. That is the issue. If you just deal with this in reality, you don't have to lie. That's all. That's all. It's infuriating to me.
You know what what's interesting? By that same logic, though, consider this. If Trump came out and just was like, I didn't know it was happening, that the Russians were talking to my family. I just found out that it was. And you know what? I'm sincerely sorry about that. That was never my intention to collude with the Russian government. And I apologize for these people who did it without my knowledge.
No, you can't
and
do
that. And he said that, like, publicly and sincerely.
No. Here's why you can't do that.
Why?
In Alex's case, there's no one but himself that is in, has the finger pointed at them from his admission. If Trump were to say that, he would be throwing his family under the bus.
Exactly. And he doesn't actually like any of them.
He's
a psychopath.
Sure. But that doesn't matter. Like, that would be an admission that would work against these other people that could then flip and be like, he's lying.
Right. That's
true. I have evidence that he's lying or something like that.
He does have to do the whole cabal thing. He can't do the...
Whereas all Alex needs to do, like, to use Game of Thrones terms, he just needs to bend the knee to the truth. That's all he has to do. He just has to be like, I know that I said these things. I fucked up. That's all you have to do. There's no... Like, I don't want him to go to prison. I don't want him to...
I do.
Maybe for other stuff. I don't want him kicked off air. I don't want any of that stuff.
I do.
I want him to come correct. I want him to be right with the con. Because you can still lie and defraud people and not, like, lie. Like, you don't have to lie this time.
As we've proved in our Project Camelot episodes. The problem is that, like, when we were just talking about it on our last episode, when the guy's like, why have so many of us gone to jail? And it's like, no, you can fraud people.
Yeah, yeah.
Just... Pull it back!
Like Icarus, these people fly too close
to
the sun.
I know! You get greedy with your cons.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Jim Baker went to prison.
Yeah!
That's why Sean David Morton's in prison. That's why Mark Richards is in prison.
Greed.
Right, and I mean, I think there's a cautionary tale for all these con men, that's as old as time. If they studied the pantheon of Western culture that they seem to love so much, there's a lot in the mythology that could probably help them out with that.
There's a lot. Yeah, you know, it's almost like those were some sort of like a tale about morality and the way that you should use or not use.
Sort of. It's so strange.
That. It's almost like the past is trying to teach you.
It's very weird.
Mm.
So I'm going to skip some of these clips because I think we've pretty much beat the dead horse of Alex's self-defense about the Sandy Hook shit.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't say anything all that, like, interesting about, like, because he knows he's in court. Like, he knows that.
Well,
like,
yeah, he can't go whole hog.
Right. So he's just doing this, like, hey, you know, what they do is they take one word at a time in quotes to make it look right. Like I said something that I didn't. No one has any clips of me. Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
All this happens, like, it's kind of boring. Let's get past that and get into some juice. So here he's complaining about Xi Jinping being in Davos a couple years back.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
You should be.
The Davos part I'm fine with.
You should be.
I think it's the stuff that he's doing now.
Alex doesn't bring that up.
Oh, okay. But, he doesn't.
So he went to Davos, right? And he said that, like, you know, with Trump being this this weirdo ding dong, and he's going to abdicate the role of world leader. We'll help out. That was his sort of take at Davos.
Yeah.
That we'll pick up the slack and try and help with world unity and that sort of thing, which Alex, of course, because world unity is a very negative thing for him.
Xi Jinping has a very different idea of world unity under his his rule.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled.
I don't want that world unity.
I'm not thrilled with that picture.
No, thank you. Xi, back this one off. Don't even be – Yeah, I don't want you to be part of China's unity. The way you're treating Taiwan is fucking insane. I don't want none of you.
That's fair. But – That's not where Alex is coming from. And I really, really keep this in because he's going out to break, and I would say this boy is shook.
China's Xi to promote globalization at Davos, not war and poverty. But there you go. That was before he went. You can find the quotes where they're declaring war on us and our prosperity and our freedom and have SJWs trained in Maoist philosophy, which Rockefeller thought was the best. He funded education. Ready to man all the computers, all the terminals, all the censorship, to be the blue city and blue state cops to suppress everybody. And they're rolling out a 21st century. This is World War IV, folks. This is it. America's under attack. The globalists are doing it.
What?
And all I'm trying to do is fight these people.
World War IV?
The other men go,
did we skip
you better
one?
Not do it. Look how he's getting attacked.
Was
God
I not
Almighty,
looking?
We're going to lose everything if people don't stand up and speak out. And now Fox News behind the scenes is threatening to fire Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity for not attacking me.
All right.
Wait.
All right.
Wait, that was a sting to the end of that.
Yeah. You guys need to attack Alex Jones or you're fired.
Yeah, that's Fox News all up and down.
Totally.
Oh, I've never heard anything more reasonable said about Fox News.
Seems very in line with their editorial positions.
You guys, essentially Alex Jones is now. Mm. We need you to attack Alex Jones.
If they were to attack Alex
Otherwise, Jones, we'll fire you for being too Alex Jones.
If they were to attack Alex Jones, legitimately the only position that they could take is like,
plagiarism?
Yeah.
He's too much like us now?
Yeah, exactly. It would have to be some sort of like step off our toes.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of they couldn't attack him on merit.
Hey, like, hey. Quit being racist over there. That's my job.
We've claimed that space.
Yeah, that's ours now.
It's very weird.
We're the West, mm-hmm. And you, Alex, now are the people that you want the West to trample over.
Alex, you're very full of displacement fears and anxieties about whiteness. Tucker Carlson has now done possibly a better job because he doesn't yell all the time. Possibly he's a more palatable face for your racism.
Right.
You have been outdone.
First off, he shaved.
It's true.
Yeah. He doesn't have... Wait, did Alex shave?
No. Tucker. Okay. Tucker
okay.
shaved.
Yeah, Tucker
and
shaved.
And he shaved the bow tie. That was important. Got to shave that bow tie, boy.
Is that where it went?
Yep.
You know, once you shave a bow tie, it doesn't grow back.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a yes and kind of character. I like to play improv games.
Fair enough.
I said that's right, you son of a bitch. Didn't negate you.
I'm sorry. You just said it real quick. You're just that's right.
Play the tape back. I don't think I did. Anyway, so we move along, and in this next clip, Alex is coming back from break after that.
Yeah.
And He has some words about a gentleman from the UK who sucks.
No.
Good news.
No.
Tommy Robinson.
No, I read about this.
Has been ordered released from jail. We're not even sure if that's happened yet. I'm talking to his folks, getting information as it unfolds. Because as we said and others pointed out, under common law and under British law and under U.S. law.
Admiralty.
He didn't even have a real hearing. He was in less than 1 hour after he was arrested. He was put into prison for saying he covered a trial of Islamic pedophile gangs, but you didn't even cover it. I mean, you're not supposed to go inside and say what you heard because there's minors or whatever involved to protect the children. We can't talk about the pedos, of course.
So I have four problems with that, I think.
Yeah, the first, itemize them.
The first coming at the end there, like, yeah, protect the fucking children's identities, you asshole. That is absolutely just a standard of like legal and journalistic integrity.
Nope.
You absolutely
put him out
all
there.
That shit under wraps.
Crisis actors.
So that's one. He's scoffing about the idea of like protecting children who are victims of something's privacy.
Blah. How could you?
Second thing, I don't know why he's bringing up U.S. law. He's in England. I don't know why he brought that up. Common law, UK law, US law. US law doesn't come into the equation.
Brexit law means they have adopted all of our laws. First Amendment. Next.
Sweet.
Next.
Third issue.
Next. Two solved. Crisis actors, US law, Brexit, etc. Move on.
Third issue is that he's saying that Tommy was put into prison without a hearing, and that's because he had a suspended sentence from another time he was harassing a bunch of Muslims, and the judge was like, if you do this again, we're going to put you in prison. We're going to let you off this time, but you have a suspended sentence. So he did it again. He got arrested. You get thrown straight in prison. You don't need a hearing at that point. That's basically you've broken parole. You will go to prison until you get another hearing on that. You have waived your right to not be put into a cell.
Fourth Amendment, Dan.
Fair enough. My fourth problem is the idea that he wasn't covering this stuff. I mean, I guess I agree with that. He was rabble-rousing.
Covering is such a... The connotation on covering is very different from what he was doing.
He was
which
Muslim
is being
baiting.
A giant dick in public.
Right, much like that Logan Robertson character that we met recently. He was going around and just trying to antagonize Muslims, hoping one attacks him, and then he gets video of it, and he's like, look at these angry, violent Muslims.
He was doing the lingual version of throwing a brick at somebody's window and then claiming you're the victim whenever they're mad at you.
Yeah, beating you up.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I know that Jackass is sort of the touchstone of like prank shows. Even they wouldn't do something like that.
No.
Like even they wouldn't be like, okay, we're going to fuck with, people and then pretend that we, weren't fucked with.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. So those are my four issues. I think you've beat down three of them, but one stance.
One stance. Not much I can do about that.
Yeah.
16th Amendment?
Was that the one about, booze? That was the 18th, right?
All
right.
Yeah.
I don't remember the numbers.
Yeah.
So at this point, we've seen a little bit of bullshit, a little bit of nonsense. Mostly he's talked about China for a lot of this.
Right.
And not in any substantive way. He's not talking. He does bring up the Intercept.
Yeah, of course.
He does bring up Greenwald, but he doesn't talk about the specifics of things. He just talks about like, of course, I already knew this. I had secret documents.
Right.
I had secret documents talking about how they're going to, you know, like China now has control of the entire cloud. So he's bringing in
this
old
he went
false
back to,
narratives
yeah.
in order to tie into new revelations that are pressing and from more reputable sources than him.
Mm.
He's trying to combine his past narratives into newer, fresher meat. So he spends a lot of time on that and then just screaming about the Falun Gong. And fair enough, but why don't you ever talk about the Rohingya? Like, where do you draw the line? What's the issue? Like, where is...
Political expedience.
Whose victimhood do you care about, Alex?
White.
Well, no, because the Buddhists... The Falun Gong folk are not necessarily.
No. I know. I mean, like at the end, that's the whole reason that this is just a throwaway.
About that a lot. He talks about the Falun Gong a lot.
But he talks about the Falun Gong a lot.
But I asked that rhetorically. Essentially, it's because they're in China.
Yeah.
He hates China, and so he like, some victimized group in China gets precedence over some Muslims who are being slaughtered somewhere else in a country that he doesn't have a vested interest in trying to demonize. So anyway,
we talked about that Intercept, or we texted a little bit about it, and your response I found to be a much more direct and apt, and I would say better than mine. Which was your response was like, "Yeah, duh, which
I needed a durr kind of like emoji.
And it was like I read the Intercept article and I was like, Jesus, I can't believe they're actually building this app that will be Google but will censor everything on its own. And and then you said like, yeah, of course they are. And I was like, oh yeah, of course they are. Why would I ever consider that they wouldn't be?
Well, because you remember the true version of what Alex lies about in terms of the cloud keys and stuff like that. The real version of that is that they've given the Chinese government the cloud keys over Chinese users.
Exactly.
People within the country of China. And that is an incredibly oppressive tool that could be used by the government against the citizens.
Right.
And the
could
fact,
already.
Well, yeah.
The
fact,
is.
Yeah. The fact that people came out and were like, this is a really messed up thing for them to do. And Google was like, we don't give a shit. That leads me to believe anytime I hear something like this that has some credible backing to it. Yeah. No shit.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah. No shit.
Google is
Google
a,
wants
a
money.
Moral outfit that you know.
That's a huge market.
But at the same time, I don't think that that means that they're going to deploy this version of it in China in order to get it back here.
No,
I don't think that that's reasonable in any way.
Not until Xi Jinping unifies the world.
Well, yes.
In which case, we're in trouble.
Right. At that point, you know, you just get some dragons.
Right.
Takes over. All of the rest of the world.
Right.
I've been brushing back up on Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Had to take a break from this horror and watch The Red Wedding while we were talking.
Something like that. So
that's what's great about that is that just today
you mean me watching Game of Thrones?
No. Him talking about China is that
Twain.
Just today an 80-year-old not activist but like fucking critic of the
Jay Sherman?
No, unfortunately. He didn't make it to 80. He died of heart disease at 74.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, for sure. Hated it. no, while
did you
he
hear
was
that Duke Phillips became president in 2016?
He did. Yeah. It was based on him. Oh boy.
We're the Bears that sing for Duke. All right, let's assume this into a critic reference show.
So good.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail you with that.
Oh man, I
you said
I
an 70, 84 year old
80, 80 year old 80 yeah. year old dude in China was on was giving an interview to a website and was literally arrested during the middle of the interview. Mm-hmm. Like they actually went to his place and fucking placed him under house arrest. His last words to the interviewer were like, "Hey, I'm allowed to do this, right?" And then it was cut off. Like that's the situation that we're talking about with Google's search results. Like
sure.
It is absolutely immoral and insane for them to actually do this, but why would we expect anything else?
No, totally.
Why in God's name would you expect a massive corporation that is global, that has no allegiance to any nation or anything like that, and is purely about making profit, which is what it is supposed to do.
Yep.
Why would we ever imagine that they would take a fucking stand?
There's no piece where morality affects your stocks.
Yeah.
So why would any business really care all that much about it? Yeah.
I mean, my best go is like, I don't order anything from Amazon. Like, I don't want Jeff Bezos to have another fucking dime from me.
Sure.
Like, that means anything.
Yeah. Like, but the more to the point, what you're saying is, like, and I agree with this, and I think this is a better thing, is that, like, there are real problems with China and the way they behave and stuff like that in terms of human freedom, in terms of the kind of world we would like everyone to be allowed to live in. And it does a disservice to them when Alex lies about these things. Because the serious issue is undercut by the things that he's lying about. And he's just bullshitting and screaming in order to make himself elevated as a truth teller or whatever. You know, and that's a theme that's going to play out. And it has played out over this podcast's entire history. Like, Alex Jones does a disservice to real serious issues by lying about them.
Yeah.
He pretends he's on the right side of it and like he's against China because he loves liberty.
Sure.
But that conversation could be much better served by people who have nuanced thoughts about it, who don't scream all the time, don't yell that this is World War IV, America is under attack, you know, that sort of
thing. What was World War III, though?
Don't worry about it. Probably Cold War. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know.
I don't know. I kind of want to know, though.
There's a secret World
I
War
know
III.
What he, see, I want to know what he thinks World War III is. I don't want to know what World War III was. I want to know what he thinks it was.
I kind of know, but I can't really articulate it.
Yeah.
It's more just
it's
like
just a general vibe. Like, it was just the World War III vibe.
Yeah, it's like a behind-the-scenes World War that's been going on for whatever. I don't know.
And then there was an armistice.
It ended with Trump.
It ended with Trump. But then they started World War IV after Trump.
Trump reached rapprochement.
Uh-huh.
I just like saying that word.
I know. You've said it quite a bit recently. Yeah.
Found detente, and then war broke out again. I don't know.
It was arbitrage. I don't know.
I think I've heard some decently eloquent people who aren't crazy make the point that you could argue that something like the Cold War was a world war that we just weren't actively, you know, because there were the surrogate wars that happened.
Well, yeah,
like that. So like
did occur all across
proxy
the
wars.
That were proxy wars. Yeah. So yeah, you could say that.
People can make that argument, and fair play to them. We're not in World War IV right now.
No. Hopefully we will be soon.
Fingers crossed. And if we are, it's because of this, what the globalists are doing.
Oh, okay.
The globalists have demographically bet on Communist China and radical Islam just because of demographic numbers.
Demographic.
They're not trying to get another earpiece during the break. This has been doing this for 2 days. It just keeps popping out. I don't know what's going on. Excuse me. Just keep forgetting to ask for that, so I'm going to ask now.
Fair.
So demographically, they have decided to make this move. It's been done. We've been sold out. And then Trump's in there valiantly trying to fix it without getting too extreme, because that could tank the stock market if he said, ladies and gentlemen, our entire government database was given to China. All our secrets were wide open. They have way more industrial might than we do. We've been totally sold out. They've got their operatives in charge of almost every university. The Council on Foreign Relations directs it. America is basically in a horrible position.
Nope.
Well, we are now, but that's because of Trump. You know. Yeah.
You know, it's another horrible position.
What?
Fucking trade war.
Oh. I thought it was reverse missionary.
No, that's a bad position too. he goes on to scream about we gave them the canal, Panama Canal. And so
we gave them that canal.
Look into that. It's private.
We gave it to them.
Private businesses
no,
selling off
we
land
gave
around
it to
it.
Them.
Such bullshit.
We gave it to them.
It's just like all of this stuff. We already talked about on a past episode the idea that they run all the universities. There's just a Chinese center that's very sketchy on a lot of universities.
Yeah.
That's not, they run the university. Oh, they're implanted and running it. That's not what's going on. It's the same thing. It's like, if you look at the truth of that situation, which I apologize, I don't have all the information in front of me because we went over it before.
Yeah.
You look at that and it's like, oh, yeah, this is weird. This is weird. And the reason that university is accepted is because they don't have robust Chinese language programs. And so they accept
that would
it
be
because
nice.
It offers them for free
it's
as
good.
A service to the school.
It's great.
And they get hooked into this possibly sketchy group.
You know, they also have ROTC programs.
It's true.
Nobody wants to join the fucking military, but, you know, they're going to give us some fucking funding so we can do some shit. Maybe we should have better funded public universities.
Huh.
Maybe we wouldn't have this issue, Alex, if we had publicly funded universities. Or maybe we wouldn't have this issue if the most paid public servants in this fucking country weren't head football coaches at fucking places like that.
That is wild.
Maybe you should all fucking die.
Yep.
Anytime he says demographically and then we, God, that's such the most racist thing you could say. Demographically, we've been sold out.
Demographically, the bad guys have chose the Chinese and the Muslims.
Yeah. Yep. Who's the demographic? That they, not America, no. Cause Chinese people and Americans can both be,
totally. That's a very compatible.
It seems like, are there Muslim Americans? Yeah.
That's also compatible. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can't be talking about Americans.
No, it seems like something very specific.
This is foreign to Alex Jones's rhetoric.
It seems so odd. Huh. Why would you say demographically? Is he talking about the four quadrants? Is that it?
He's talking about Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, Utah. Four
Not
quadrants.
The four corners.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. No, dude, it's all just that displacement fear bullshit.
God.
It's all just, white.
God, I just want white people take a break.
Yeah.
Can we just take a break?
Chill out.
Let's everybody just relax for a moment.
Take a drink from the hose,
yeah,
as if it was a football practice. Go drink from the hose.
Yeah, exactly. Just get people on over there. Yeah. A lot of football talk recently.
Take a knee, white people. So in this next clip, this is actually really fascinating because I think there's another instance of this later, not the exact same thing, but there's a fascinating thing that Alex does rhetorically wherein he's describing what people do. He's claiming to be on the business end of it.
Okay.
But in the clip, he's actually doing the thing he's accusing other people of doing. This is remarkable. Like, I listened to this and
That's high-level Jedi fucking judo right there.
But I really don't think it is. I don't think he even knows he's doing it.
Like, oh, you don't think he knows he's doing it?
I think it's muscle memory or
you
something.
Think he's just an instinctive judo prodigy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We'll see if you agree on the other end of this clip.
All right.
And the coastal elite, not the people that live there, but the elites that stay there and control it and suck off everybody.
Phrasing.
Suck off everybody?
They just have a predatory disdain.
Are you Archer?
Because we were marked as the enemy. And one thing about war is you demonize your enemy.
War.
Because most people aren't psychopaths. They're just mercenary follower cowards. So they want to believe what they're destroying is bad. So the universities and Hollywood and the culture is America's bad. America's evil. America sucks. Get rid of America. Families are bad. Men and women are bad. Teach your five-year-old how to be gay. And I'm not attacking people that aren't heterosexual. But in China, they execute you if you're gay.
So you see what he did there? That's pretty amazing. That's like a gymnastic maneuver that he pulled.
That was astonishing.
Right. He's even explaining in the clip, where this is war, you demonize your enemies.
People say things like, hate the globalists, or liberals are the cause of all of our problems, or we should kill people who are different than us, or every Muslim's a terrorist.
Dude.
Like, people say these things all the time, and it's just not true. They're just trying to demonize their enemy.
You don't even have to go that far. You can just take what he said in that clip. You know? They hate the mother and father. They think man and woman are bad.
Just the very pure, like, you're demonizing your enemy as we speak.
Yes, absolutely.
And then blaming other people for demonizing their enemy.
Mm.
But it's war.
It's war.
War. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get into news radio.
What is it good for? What is it good for, Jordan?
I don't know. When the super karate monkey death car comes to my hut.
Absolutely nothing. Your response there is supposed to be, say it again.
I like doing improv games.
Huh.
I like doing improv games. You could
have also gone with, huh.
I would have gone with yes and, but I didn't.
The rest of this episode is going to veer fairly into pedophilia in Hollywood.
Great.
Which I'm sorry to jump on you here in the middle of the episode, but Alex, he knows that he's got to, you know, not talk too much about his lawsuits and what have you. He's got to do what he does best, which is sensationalize real world issues. And in doing so, he ends up bringing on a guest that I think is probably going to lead to another lawsuit. I don't see any way around, like, I don't think this is, like, I don't think what he does at the end of this episode is legal in any way. Like, I know he keeps prefacing it by saying that, like, I don't know if I should have this guy on. I don't know if I should let him say these things. Like, he is, like, at least, you know, being like, this might be really bad.
I don't know what the definition of hubris is or whether or not I am flying too close to the sun.
Right.
I am being fucking sued, but what if? Like, isn't it double jeopardy where you can only be sued one time?
Per day.
Like, you only get one lawsuit against you in your entire life?
Yeah. So he gets into it here, and then he's going to jump off the topic for a bit and then get back to it. But this is where it kind of starts. He wants to brag a bit about his in-depth knowledge of Hollywood.
Okay. All right.
If you want the really big role, you got to screw a, you know, 10-year-old. And you're like, are you joking? They're like, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. And you're like, I'm about to kick your ass. I'm just joking. Because I've been in Hollywood.
Yeah.
At A-list parties, which you think are so cool. Like, there was no oxygen. They were all unhappy and neurotic. Everybody's like mentally ill. You couldn't pay me to be around. That's why I got away from it all.
Sure.
I thought it was a way to reach out to people. It's not.
Cool.
And folks are like, well, you probably want to get out of here before the kids arrive. And I'm like, yeah, you're joking, right? They're like, I think it's time for us to go.
Okay.
And then, you know, you walk into back rooms at restaurants and it's like, girls are sure pretty, man, but I think they're about 16 years old, you know?
What?
And that's out in the open.
What restaurants?
And my soul's like, get out of here. So I don't know.
You don't know. The back room of the restaurant is very clearly,
is that like Benihana's?
No, but it is a callback to people, like anybody who listens to his show and believes his worldview. That's a callback to the back room of, Comet
Pizza.
Ping Pong.
Yeah, that's the Pizzagate.
The whole thing was that back room where they have parties.
Oh.
Like where they have like, birthday parties and stuff like that. There was something nefarious about that back room. So him saying the back room of restaurants, while he may not be talking about that, that is what is, evoked in the mind of the listener. Now, what he's describing there as a Hollywood A-list party that he's been to. He tells that story three times on this episode and does not give any more details than what he just said there. And I would argue
that it more accurately represents the planes that that one dude and Trump were on.
Oh, Epstein? No.
Yeah.
I think that it's some guy wanting Alex to leave a party. If I have to play Occam's Razor games, I'm going to say that no one is going to go up to Alex and be like, hey, there's going to be some kids showing up at this party, unless they want him to leave because he's bumming everybody out at this fucking party. Everybody's trying to have a good time, trying to have some cocktails, and this guy won't stop yelling about Building 7. We got to get him out of here.
Right.
This is a bummer.
Right.
So.
And we can't confront him.
No, because he's going to fight you.
Because he's going to freak out.
Yeah, and then he's going to.
So we got to creep
him out. His eyes are going to turn red, and then he's going to be beating your head into the ground until you're in a coma.
Right.
He's just going to turn off. He calls that goblin mode.
He's called it that? He has not called it that.
He does on this episode.
On this episode.
I don't think I have a clip of it.
I don't think I've ever heard him call it that before.
He calls it goblin mode.
He watches a lot of movies for somebody who hates Hollywood.
Yeah, for sure.
Are we talking Lord of the Rings goblins? Like, what goblins are we talking about?
I don't know any goblins that just beat your head into the ground until you're in a coma
and
your dad gets sued.
Because Lord of the Rings goblins are very industrious. They're like the analog of the dwarves. They live underground in mountains and build. Goblins, like hobgoblins. They're generally just considered like weirder people.
That's why they got the hob at the beginning.
Exactly.
Right?
They're not quite goblins. They're not quite hobs.
Hobbling goblins.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care. But this.
Fine.
I'm sorry.
I'm very goblin centric in my thinking.
I'm sorry that I don't really have a lot of thoughts.
I want to know more about goblins.
We'll do that on another episode.
Okay.
Cause I'm sure that Project Camelot at some point gets into goblins.
Sooner or later, we're going to have a goblin centric, conversation.
Undoubtedly. So, that clip is foreshadowing for things to come. But before he gets into the meat of this and possibly runs astray of the law, he has to play a little bit more self-defense.
Uh-huh.
Cause recently we didn't cover this on an episode, but you know, it's all, you can find it on Right Wing Watch, Media Matters, all of them covered it. Alex got real weird, and did some finger guns and was threatening Robert Mueller
a little bit. Yeah, I heard about
talking
that.
About wanting to have a showdown politically.
Politically.
All that. And everybody's like, look at him threatening Robert Mueller. I'm like, hey guys, if you really care about that, go back to the clip that we posted where Larry Nichols literally threatened to blackmail him. Like, that's a literal illegal threat that he made on air. As opposed to this where Alex can be like, I'm just using metaphors and stuff like that. So, but he realizes he's gotta talk about that a little bit. He's gotta, you know, explain himself. And what he ends up doing is crazy. This is so weird. Because he takes you inside his mind. What was his mind doing when he said those things?
That's a good question.
It's so weird.
I would like to know what his mind was doing.
This is very, very weird.
Then there's criticism of Tucker Carlson and others because they said, well, Alex isn't perfect, but a lot of that's out of context. And
nope.
You know, my God, look at the stuff, you know, that Bill Maher says. And he says, abort all the babies, and he hopes America implodes, and he wants to have a depression. But that's okay.
Well, one thing, no one likes Bill Maher. He's a blowhard douche.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, and the other thing is he's a comedian.
And he's not even a good one.
He's not, but you give him a little bit of a pass, not that he deserves much of one.
Right.
But in terms of those things, he's not saying that literally. He's using an attempt at humor, because he's a comedian.
Right.
Anyway,
like it would be like for instance, if you had your Cernovich right wing blow up.
Well, no.
And
let me give you a better example.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason we never talk about like Nick DiPaolo on the show or something like that. You know?
oh, is there?
Yeah, he's a comedian.
Well, he's terrible.
But there's other.
He was pretty good for a while though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was
great
a pretty
on
solid.
Dr. Katz.
He was great on Dr. Katz.
There are a number of like right wing leaning comedians, and there's no reason to ever like be like, oh, look at what they're doing. Cause most of the time they're trying to be funny and they say things that are fucking awful.
Yeah.
But you know that there's an attempt constant humor there. In the same way that, like, I don't like Bill Maher. I don't think anyone I know who's on the left likes Bill Maher. I think the most think he's a shithead.
Yeah.
But he's trying to be
funny.
And
Islamophobic master motherfucking shithead. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And he's a problem. But, you know, the statements that he makes about wanting depopulation so there's less traffic, that's just a hacky joke.
Right.
That's just a shitty joke that he's making. He doesn't want to depopulate the world so he has less traffic.
Yeah.
You're acting in bad faith if you take that literally.
Yeah, it's a monologue joke.
Right.
Leno probably made that joke 20 years ago.
Probably.
Yeah.
Different delivery. There you go.
They can all say kill Trump, kill Trump, kill Trump.
Kill
I say
Trump, kill Trump, kill Trump.
Politically.
Politically.
I want to have a political shootout with Robert Mueller. The last thing I want is Mueller to get hurt. Turn him into a victim, into a martyr.
There's a reason that his mind went to victim first.
That's the worst defense. That's the worst defense.
It's not good. But the
I want to kill him, but I can't because then he would turn into a victim.
If I strike him down, he'll become 10 times
exactly.
as strong.
No, you guys don't get it. I really want to kill him, but I don't want to kill him.
Right. It's not worth it for me.
Yeah.
But the other thing is the reason that his brain comes up with victim before martyr is because that's what he cherishes. He cherishes his victim status.
Right. He doesn't want to become a martyr.
His artificial victim status, as it were. So that's why his mind cooks that up.
Martyr means he doesn't get made. He doesn't make money anymore.
Mm-mm.
Everybody knows I'm against offensive violence. It's not who I am.
Nope.
He's for offensive violence, but maybe not offensive violence.
But they're always saying I'm violent. So I said, why don't I said a little split second thing. I do this a lot. So it was premeditated, but not really. It's kind of like a spontaneous, like love at first sight, hate at first sight. It was like, it was thought out, but like in 10 seconds. It was like, Mueller makes me so sick the way he's railroading everybody and having fake trials and breaking the Constitution and spying on Manafort's phone calls in jail with his lawyers, totally illegal. And gosh, it's so crazy.
I don't think he's doing
any of that. He was involved for 10 years with the Alita Express with all these world leaders on it, having sex with reportedly his kids as young as 7.
Like Trump.
They whitewashed it to 14, 13 year olds. They're being taken to sex islands.
That's whitewashing it?
And sex sheiks.
What? Did he just say sex islands?
With sex sheiks.
With sex sheiks.
I'll tell you who's not a sex sheik. The Iron Sheik.
I will tell you what you need to do. Say that 5 times fast.
I prefer Sex Boat. A great song by a rapper friend of mine named FM Cat about the Minnesota Vikings sex boat scandal.
Oh, I remember that one.
Or Fred Smoot.
Fred Smoot.
With harems. Just nightmare stuff in the Middle East. And it makes me mad. And I said, you know, oh, Mueller raped kids right in front of me. But I said, that's not what he does. He doesn't do it reportedly. He just watches it and uses it to blackmail people, which is confirmed.
What?
Define confirmed.
And the media goes, it's crazy.
I confirmed
he claims that Mueller's in a pizza place raping people. Never said that. They just mix it all together. And that's crazy, huh? But you know what? That news got out by me getting up there saying, I don't want to do this for real, but I mean politically, you know, High Noon, Spaghetti Western music. We're going to take these globalists out politically. They turn that into, you're being violent, you're threatening us.
So at the end there, you kind of get the sense of what he's really, he's pretending that in his head, what I did is I made up this bit on the spot, although I had some preconceived.
I planned it out in advance, but it was made up.
Much like I wrote some lines for this battle rap ahead of time, but then I got into the cipher and I came up with it off the dome.
Off the dome.
So I don't really care about that. That's just, it's fun that he's trying to deconstruct his mental process, which I think is ludicrous. But then at the end there, he's very clearly lying about what people are complaining about and saying, oh, this is what you said. No one saying that stuff. But then he gets to the meat of it, which is, my story got out because I yelled about all that stuff.
Yep.
They covered it because of that.
Yep.
And so whatever fictitious narrative I was trying to push got so much more traction.
Yep.
Because you all covered it.
Yep.
So.
And why does anybody fucking care?
Right. That's why.
Why
we,
does anybody?
That's
fucking,
why we didn't cover it.
The president fucking said, I hope Second Amendment people take care of Hillary. It's the same shit. He threatened violence. Why would anybody give a shit now if
offensive
Alex Jones
violence.
Does? Yeah. Why? Who gives a shit if Alex Jones does it? The president fucking does it on a daily basis. Sarah Huckabee Sanders wouldn't even say that the press wasn't the enemy of the free world or whatever.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit what Alex says other than the fact that he is giving up their games? Yeah, I don't give a shit about his violent rhetoric or all of that other bullshit. I give up the, I'm pissed off at the fact that he throws around exactly what you just said. And because of that, they gave me more coverage. Yeah. He's allowed to say exactly why he's saying it, and nobody's covering that. But if he says the shit that you shouldn't cover, everybody fucking... I'm angry!
I wish the people with larger platforms and the people who are supposed to be the public watchdogs and what have you would understand the game a little bit better.
Because he's giving it up!
Right. No, it's just, like anybody who's kind of too loose-lipped will inevitably like just say, like, this is what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And he does it all the time. Yeah. If you just pay attention instead of just going for the chosen clip outrage du jour, right. You'll hear it be just very clearly like, you stepped into my trap.
Yeah.
And you kind of did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You absolutely did.
I don't really know what else you can do because the other option is do what we do. And Right Wing Watch and Media Matters have way more traction than
us.
Yeah,
they're not very interested in that.
No.
I mean, I think it would be interesting to see an article that just said, Alex Jones explains right-wing media by saying they are going to say whatever it is I want to say as long as I make a stupid, dumb threat and then people pay attention.
Right. I only have X amount of eyes that can go on. They have more.
Yep.
So I say something inflammatory and it tricks them into putting out the thing that I want them to put out, which is an accusation that Robert Mueller was involved with the Lolita Express and Jeffrey Epstein and watched people have sex with kids and then he has blackmail on them.
Yep.
You accidentally, not accidentally, you inadvertently put that message out into the world through your coverage of his sensational fake stuff, which is, I'm going to have a political showdown with him.
Yep.
It shows a lot more craftiness on his part, in terms of like the times that he breaks down. And I actually think that this might be a tiny bit true on his end, like that he's doing that intentionally. And part of it is saving face. Cause I don't think like, if you watch like at times that he's said that he was doing this in the past, a lot of times you can just see like, utter unhingement on his face. Like,
yeah.
He's not thinking at all.
Yeah.
He's, like, almost spittling from his mouth and, like, he's red. So, like, I don't think that... I don't know. There's a possibility that he's a much better actor than we think, but I don't know.
Boy, I don't know if he's a much better actor.
Yeah.
I think he's a method?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, like
he's a Stanislavski guy.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, in that last clip, like I said, he went to victim instead of martyr for a reason, and that is relevant because of this next clip.
We are back live into hour number two on the most demonized, most maligned, most lied about, most persecuted radio/TV transmission in the world.
That would actually be Friends.
Sure. A lot of lies about Friends.
A lot of lies about Friends on the radio. Just the radio version of Friends, though.
So, I mean, like, what that, I mean, all you hear there is coming back from break and wearing your false victimhood like a badge.
Yeah.
The idea that people supposedly lie about him, the fact that he thinks he's persecuted, is what gives him validity in his own mind and what he projects onto the mind of his listeners. So the idea of claiming the space of victimhood is so fucking important to him without ever, you know, really playing that card. You have to... In his world, it's so weak to be a victim that he can never be like, we're the victim of all this stuff. But he has to say everything but. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the only way it works for him.
You have to project the strong victim. You're the victim simply because everybody else is so weak.
Right.
Everybody else is so much weaker than you, they feel like they have to, like, gang up on you. When you're even then, you're so much stronger than them, you can survive being the victim, but only because you're such a great victim and you're always a victim. But they're the weak ones. It's stupid.
No, totally.
It's stupid.
Absolutely. But it's so important to his, like, continued existence. So, earlier, we had that, clip where Alex was talking about the globalists have chosen demographically the Chinese and the Islamic, the Muslim populations of the world. I'm like, huh, that sounds kind of racist. And then he decides to take it to the nth degree in this next clip.
The Afrikaners and others are Dutch. They're basically like Amish.
No, don't talk about the Afrikaners.
There were big movements during the Reformation 300, 400, 500 years ago to get away from all the sectarian wars in Europe and the rest of it. So people left to Africa. They left all over. And you can bitch about them all day, but then everybody wants to get into the countries that Protestant Christian worth ethics set up. Don't steal from people, have just courts. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but everybody wants to get in the white Protestant countries.
At the end, might have been a little too overt. Might have been a little bit too overt there at the end. And I would also like to posit that there's a possible, I don't know, this just seems to me like there's a small chance that the reason people might now want to get into traditionally white Protestant countries is that those countries have a history of colonialism and have spent the last centuries completely decimating and strip mining the other countries for gain and profit. Maybe that's the reason that those white Protestant countries are now in the position of being in a much more comfortable, better position than countries in sub-Saharan Africa and in South America. I don't know. Maybe.
You know what was interesting to me is that the people who wanted most to get into white Protestant countries really wanted to get into those countries before the white Protestants took it away from them. You know, like the Native Americans, the First Nations, really wanted to get into that white Protestant country of North America.
Yeah.
And then, oh man, somebody stole it. Somebody stole it.
Yeah, that is weird.
Somebody just fucking murdered all of them and stole it. And now somehow they're like, oh, we want it back. You only want it back because we stole it the first time, Dan.
You just triggered a thought that I'm embarrassed we've not brought up.
What's that?
Alex always talks about how the Muslims are so evil because of the Crusades and like them like spilling into Europe in conquest and stuff like that in the like 700s and shit.
Yep.
What happened with the Western people coming to America? You know, like
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm embarrassed that I never put those pieces together because I was too busy, like, you know, looking into, like, oh, what was the nature of things, in Europe around that time?
Yeah,
was it
back and forth
with all those countries flipping, you know, lines of demarcation everywhere every 5 years or so? And they weren't really even countries. They were, you know, a lot of the places were city states at that point. There was no real combined identity of, like, Italy or any of that shit. And I never even put the pieces together of like, the best example of this is really what white people did with America.
Yep. Yep.
That's the exact thing.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep.
But everyone wants to get into white Protestant countries and you can't take that away from
people,
Alex.
White people really wish history hadn't happened.
Well, history is fake news.
Everything that white people do, it seems like is like in defiance of reality.
Not true.
We might be aliens.
Not
true. For real. Like, have we considered that we might be the only people that are not of this planet?
No, I mean, physiologically, we're all the same.
Mm.
No, I don't think
that. I don't know. See, is there some sort of evil gland? Do we have, is the pineal gland also evil for white people? Is that like a thing?
See, the problem, the line that you're walking down now is that you're going to end up at demons before too long.
Maybe.
You're going to end up in the same territory as Alex.
Maybe.
But just about saying white people are demons.
We'll never know if white people need to be banished from this earth until we banish white people from this earth. And then maybe we'll find out it was a good or a bad idea. But I think you got to do stuff first. It's better to ask forgiveness from the white people that you've jettisoned into space than it is to ask for permission to jettison white people into space.
Interesting.
I think that makes sense.
You would fit right in with that New York Times lady that the right wing is all fake mad about.
Oh, my God. Guys, go to bed.
Yeah.
Fucking piss your pants somewhere else. Get a diaper.
That's a great way to put
also,
it.
Also, New York bed. Times go New York bed. Times leadership. Fucking shut up.
Yeah.
Go home.
There are no heroes here.
Go home.
There's one heroic group in history.
Was
I only say this because they're fairly close to my lineage.
Oh, yeah?
And that's the Amish.
I do have to respect a group that is built around the idea of just leave us alone.
Well, for the most part, and they're also built around the idea, like, you know, the Amish and the Mennonites, who my family comes from, at least one side of my family comes from Mennonites, and the, like, the Hutterites, they all come from the Anabaptist tradition.
Mm.
And their whole idea was that you don't baptize children because they don't have a choice in accepting Jesus or not.
What?
Well.
What?
But here's the thing.
Personal choice? Disagree.
In Europe, in Western tradition, at the time, because of the church, adult baptism was illegal. You had to baptize every baby because what if they die, you know, before they're an adult?
So, adult baptism was illegal?
Yes, absolutely.
Did not know that.
Yep. So at the time, because they refused to baptize children, Anabaptists, they were slaughtered and run out of countries. And that's why the Mennonites and the Amish ended up being this victimized class that were killed all over the place. They became nomadic peoples throughout Europe, and a lot of them ended up coming to America and settling in, like, Pennsylvania. There's a bunch of, like, hotbeds of Amish Mennonite communities.
Yeah.
And my grandpa was actually a Mennonite preacher in, I don't know if it's Southern California. It's in California. Like Fresno.
Oh, okay.
He was in Fresno, California. Lodi before that. But, so there's a lot of, you know, there's an interesting history to the Anabaptist tradition.
Yeah.
That I think,
I knew the history of the Pennsylvania Dutch and the like, but did not know that.
Not know the Anabaptist aspect of it.
Fantastic. Yeah. I'm glad to learn that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like when I hated, growing up, going to Mennonite churches because they're mostly a bummer. And,
right, they're school.
Well, kind of. We lived in Columbia, Missouri, which was a city. People don't believe me when I say that, but it's a college town. It's a fucking
city. It's okay. It's okay, Dan. It's okay.
Not St. Louis,
you're preemptively defensive. You're preemptively defensive.
So there was like neighboring cities, like little small towns and what have you. And there's a Mennonite community of all of those cities that would meet in Columbia. Everyone would commute into Columbia.
Right. Like a barbecue.
Yeah. And when I was younger, like maybe 10, 11 or so, we went to this Mennonite church and it was just such a goddamn bummer.
Mm.
Like all of this isn't his fault. And this isn't even really necessarily Mennonite, but the preacher was in a wheelchair. He was a quadriplegic, and he spoke through like a trach hole. He had a microphone at his trach hole.
No!
It was terrifying as a kid.
No!
It was just so awful.
No!
And then the kids.
No! Oh, no.
The kids at the church were so much more evolved than me. But I was supposed to be the city kid because I lived in Columbia and they all lived in the sticks.
Yeah.
They were all fucking like 12. It was horrifying.
Yeah.
Like, for me in that situation growing up. So I always had a really negative feeling about Mennoniteism and Anabaptism as a whole. But then I looked into it and I'm like, if there is a version of Christianity that's good, it's probably this one. They make great pies.
Yeah.
The idea of, you know, child baptism is not the way to go.
Personal
They've
choice.
Loosened up on that a little bit, but also you should get rebaptized as an adult
when you can choose to.
If you mean it.
Yeah.
The idea of like Rumspringa with the Amish, the ability to go check out the world and
personal
see if you
choice.
Want to leave.
Personal choice.
There's all that. And then also there's such an emphasis on service within the Mennonite community and the Amish community. The idea of like doing things for other people, even if you're not praised for it, is really important.
Yeah.
And I love that. Like as an adult, I've come to like, I wish I valued, the religious upbringing that I had more during that time.
Yeah.
Because later we ended up going to like a Baptist mega church and that was a disaster.
Oh no, that's no good.
That I don't look back
on
well.
Nah.
But the Mennonite stuff I kind of have like a softening in my heart for. And all this is just to say Alex is about to lie about the Anabaptist.
Well, that's nice. I have no sentimental feelings about any of my time in the church ever.
Your cult was a little different.
Not even that. Just like even from when we were past the cults and we were in just like regular ass churches. Fuck that noise. Fuck those people. I hope they all fucking burn in hell. I don't give a shit.
Sure. Well, I'll say that most of my life's experience was with the Mennonites. Alex is going to talk about the Amish. And
there are differences.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. But the way I always answered the question whenever people would ask is I would say Mennonite is like Amish with electricity. There's more flexibility in terms of that. You can have a car. You can wear buttons.
Sure.
Buttons are a sign of pride to the Amish.
Buttons.
They don't like buttons.
But they are allowed to wear like teal shirts now. So that's better.
Look, reform Amish stuff is very progressive. So
colors are nice.
All this is to say that I don't know everything about all of these worlds, whether it's Mennonite or Amish. I don't know everything.
Right.
I know a bit. I'm pretty acquainted with it.
You know some.
I know enough to know that Alex knows nothing.
You know, the Amish don't have
all
lunches.
I know is that I know nothing.
They're not eating glyphosate food. They don't use glyphosate. And they don't take vaccines. And they live longer, on average 10 years. Their birth defects are way lower, even though they have genetic inbreeding. And they do not have autism.
That is not true. This is an anti-vax propaganda.
Yeah, that
narrative.
Is such bullshit.
Absolutely. The Mennonite community, the Amish community, all of them, though they do largely live separate from like urban centers and what have you, there have been studies that have been done. There is autism in the Amish community. There is vaccination that is done. All of this is cruel nonsense propaganda, just trying to bank off the idea of otherness, the otherness of the Amish. It's like, oh, they're a separate community. They don't have this. It's absolutely been debunked. This
also,
is,
why
this
not,
is utter
if
bullshit.
You're gonna, if you're gonna pull this like lifespan shit, talk about Okinawa.
Sure.
Like, they live longer and everybody looks the same until they're like 95 and then they get real old real fast, but everybody's fine.
That's because they all eat rice so much.
Yeah, sure, fine, whatever. They don't get autism because they eat rice.
They don't have rice vaccines.
Yeah, you should have a rice vaccine.
Look, dude, this is something that I've looked into quite deeply, and this is bogus.
Not endorsing all the stuff the Amish do. They have some secret program people don't really know about that I know about. I talked to some of the people. They like to get highly decorated
chimeras,
Army and Marine Corps officers who just so happen to be Dutch, to go, and they pay them big money to stud out their daughters so they get new genetic bloodlines.
What?
And the whole family
what?
Sits in,
wait,
there,
what?
In the room with you, and they put a sheet between you like Orthodox Jews do, interestingly, but it's just like breeding cattle.
When did you see this?
They pay them a lot of money. They do genetic testing, whole nine yards, and then they stud them out. little side factoids. Doesn't really matter. The thing about knowledge, though, it's so addicting. Like, you want to learn more, 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 more. Because there's just so much to know. Of course, that kind of sounds wild, but it's like going to a sperm bank. They just don't trust the sperm banks.
No, it's not. It's not like going to a sperm bank at all.
I'll tell you
it's
this.
It's like paying a stranger to fuck your daughter. That's very different from going to a sperm bank.
I'll tell you this. Knowledge is addictive. And you just want to learn and learn and learn and learn.
That's true.
So there's a number of problems with this. The first is that...
Is there a number or is there just one?
Well, one is that the Amish community is like notoriously devout.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they would not ever allow is out-of-marriage sex.
Like, oh, do you
that
mean...
That is something that's very against the rules.
They're not big on hiring Dutch
no,
soldiers.
No.
To fuck their children in front of them.
Through a sheet.
With a sheet. Yeah. Who's the sheet for?
First of all.
Who's the sheet for?
Well, do you know what this is? This comes from message boards. This comes from anonymous posts on message boards.
Okay.
There's a whole, like, rich tradition online of sort of, like, Amish fiction that has to do with the idea of how different that world is.
Yeah, so people
sort of do these...
It's slash fic.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they create these sort of ideas that, like, are believable enough to people who know nothing.
Yeah.
And then this one is sort of caught on a little bit in the internet world.
Really?
Yeah, the idea that they stud out dudes.
Like, that's just a hodgepodge of... Like, the moment he said, you know, like Orthodox Jews do, you're like, all right, well, that's somebody who threw in a bullshit thing from what Orthodox Jews do and then just threw it in there.
So the
it's not even good. It's not even creative.
Well, the idea that like that, because there's two problems. One is if this daughter
is there only two.
Well, if this daughter isn't married, the Amish are against premarital sex.
Right.
So that would be a real big issue. Secondarily, if she is married, they're super against infidelity. So that is an issue.
That is an issue?
The reason that Alex thinks that this is real is because of, again, what it comes back to is this othering of other populations.
Right.
So he, in his head, thinks, well, there's probably not many people choosing to become Amish, so they must be a completely isolated community, and they must all be fucking each other, and at a certain point, you're just going to be fucking your sisters and your brothers. like all country folk do.
Right.
So here's the problem. There are tons and tons of separate communities around the country, a lot of them fairly close together. Like the Pennsylvania Dutch is something that is notorious. It's not one group. There's a right. bunch of different groups. So often people will...
It's not called Dave's Pennsylvania Dutch.
Right. But you
it's a whole... It's not a franchise.
You're part of this community over here, Community A, and often there'll be a mixer with Community B, and you'll meet someone and marry someone from Community B, and then you'll have kids, and then the kid that you have with someone from Community B might have a kid with Community C. It's not going to necessarily end up in direct inbreeding, because it's not like Community A, B, or C is just one family.
It's just one guy.
It's not. It's not nearly as small as Alex is presenting it. Like the idea that this is all going to, within two generations, it's going to be all inbred babies.
Yeah.
It's not an emergency like that for the Amish.
Well, even if it was, an emergency, whose idea was the, well, let's hire a Dutch soldier to fuck our daughters?
It's crazy.
So someone. whose problem solving skills wind up there?
It doesn't seem like a, succinct,
Also, the only reason he says Dutch is because they're called Pennsylvania Dutch, right. And they're not Dutch.
There is a community that came from.
Right, but the Pennsylvania Dutch were German, if I remember correctly. So he's just
Deutsch.
Using, yeah, exactly. He's just using like a colloquial term for as an expansion.
But
it's not like he's talking about Netherlanders.
No, because the issue is what I talked about earlier, the idea that Anabaptists were driven all around Europe.
Right.
There was a nomadic character to the people to the extent that like saying that they're Dutch or German isn't really the full picture of it.
Right.
There is like a multi nationality lineage to that population.
Not least of which because it was a religious thing, not
Well, it's the same that you can say about, like, the Romani. You can't say that they all come from X country.
They're not, yeah.
There's people who get forced around and end up in nomadic existences.
Which
they have much more...
Tends to be that case.
Yeah.
So, because if you're a nomad, you wind up interbreeding with a whole host of different people.
Sure. Someone might come along with you
exactly.
as you pass through.
Yeah. You know,
there's all kinds of.
So that's because you tricked them with your gypsy wiles.
You're not supposed to say that word.
I don't say it is a. Oh, right.
Anasazi wiles. Get it right. I like these soft slurs you can use. The slurs that most people don't think are slurs. It's crazy.
Okay.
So, just to put a fine button on this.
Yeah.
Shout out to my Mennos out there and my Amish peeps.
Who are not allowed to wear buttons.
Or listen to this podcast.
That's true.
But this is one of those things. And I know that the only reason I'm driving this home so hard is because I have a personal connection.
This. Yeah, yeah.
It's so offensive because of how much the narrative invalidates what those people believe. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
There's no way they would choose this as an option because it would undo their faith to begin with.
Right.
Secondarily, there's no way that this is true because it comes from a fucking message board.
Right.
Anyway.
But that's such a thing, like we've talked about a bunch of times where it's like, of course you assume they would do that because you have no belief in your actual beliefs.
True.
So you're like, well, yeah, why wouldn't they sell out everything that they believe? I would do it.
True. There's that piece. And then there's also the fetishization of the community you don't understand.
Yeah.
And it's very attractive to do that. It's very hard to stop yourself from being like, I believe the weird thing about this group I think is weird.
Yeah.
So.
And also you would watch a Dutch soldier fuck a Amish lady.
Through a sheet. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
The other thing too.
When are you ever going to get the chance to do that again?
Well, the other thing too is there were like those reality shows that came out. There were like that, I don't remember the name of it, but there was that one about like Amish justice where there was a guy with a big stick who would go around and like, do you remember
what?
That? There was a terrible reality show.
A guy with a big stick?
Well, there's a terrible reality show about like how there was a mafia within the Amish communities.
Okay.
And that like if people fucked with them, then they had this enforcer guy who had a couple goons. And like, I was like, I watched that show and like, this doesn't ring fucking true at all. So I asked my dad, cause my dad's obviously much more plugged in with
Mennonite
communities, Amish communities around. And, he was like, this is one of the most laughable things. It's so fake. It's absolutely one of the, like, it's, It's literally like believing Rock of Love is how people date. It's literally that level of stupid. And Alex is operating off that world. And I'm not offended, but...
Isn't that how Red Sonja dates?
You're talking about that tall Brigitte?
Yeah.
Brigitte
Nielsen? Yeah.
No, that was Flavor of Love. Different
show. Sorry.
How dare you?
Sorry.
Dare you?
Sorry.
You've invalidated yourself. Rock of Love was with Brett Michaels for two seasons.
And
then there was the Rock of Love bus. That was another, they did another
one. All right.
It's just him,
There's the Rock of Love bus?
Yeah, he was just banging groupies on a bus.
Okay. Well, good for him.
It was a mess.
That's a good day.
The show's a mess.
All right.
So, also a mess, this next clip where Alex talks a little bit about Pizzagate shit. Although, he's supposed to not believe this anymore.
Because I learned this with Pizzagate and stuff. You've got admissions and thousands of emails about the kids will be delivered into the hot tub for your pleasure.
Talked about this on a past episode.
Hot tub
he's misrepresenting
for your
this Podesta email.
And then it's the FBI code words for sex with kids off their own Homeland Security manual. And they're talking about $65,000 of succulent
manual?
Hot dogs. Well, are these as good? Oh, God, these are good. I had these hot dogs in Hawaii.
He's completely editorializing on this hot dog email that he has turned into something else.
Yep.
This is all bullshit. He's just riffing.
Were delivered by jet. And let me, it's male prostitutes. And look, Obama's having sex with 10 dudes a day, whatever. The point is that that's what's going on your taxpayer time. He's not watching SportsCenter 3 hours a day up there, okay? Okay. And the report is, you know, he's got, you know, well, I'm not going to get into it on family show.
You should.
But let's just say Amtrak isn't just a train. So,
what?
Can we break that down?
Amtrak isn't just a train?
Well, before we deconstruct.
What is Amtrak then?
Before we deconstruct that. I want to tell the audience that when Alex said Obama's having sex with 10 dudes a day, your face didn't change at all.
Yeah, no problem with that.
Stone face.
No, fine. Like, whatever.
The idea.
Whatever.
The very idea. Let's say it takes.
I'm just going to let that one go.
Let's say a good sexual experience. I mean, there's going to be diminishing returns because of refractory periods.
Oh.
But let's say the first time is 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So let's pretend that each time it takes 3 minutes more or so.
Okay.
So then 10 plus 13 plus 16
right.
plus 19
right.
plus 22 plus 25. That's going to take all day to fuck
It's a
dudes.
Busy day. Yeah. It's a busy day.
Now let's imagine that you're doing all 10 at the same time. That's going to take even longer because each of those 10 dudes needs attention and you can't give attention to 10 dudes at
you
the
know,
same time.
You know,
this is ludicrous.
One, okay, first off, Dan.
He's probably just watching SportsCenter.
You are selling Obama short.
I know he has skills.
That is a man who can toss off 10 dudes in a heartbeat.
Please.
Look, just if you were even in his presence, you'd be like, huh, and you would shake with orgasmic rage.
If you're saying to me.
That you could not control yourself.
All things being equal, if you're saying to me that Obama blows 10 dudes a day. That's different because then, oh, look at this asshole spilling. Because then there's no sock rag. At that point, there's no refractory period to consider because
right.
it's 10
right.
different dicks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if he's having sex with 10 dudes, that implies that his dick is involved. And if that's the case, he's got a nut 10 times.
I'm saying that it's not even him blowing dudes. I'm saying that he has
just the aura.
Mental powers of a power that we cannot imagine.
Well, then what's the pleasure then if you just walk into a room and 10 dudes come?
Sex is about power, Dan.
That's a good
point. Everything is about sex.
I've heard
sex,
that before.
Sex is about power. Mm. I've heard that from Janelle Monáe.
I just don't, I'm,
which is actually the worst lyric on her entire album. It's a great album. Dirty Computer is fantastic, but that was the worst lyric. Anyways, continue.
No, I have nothing to continue with. I think I beat this dead horse.
Just like Obama did with all those 10 dudes' dicks. All right.
Dead horse dicks. I don't know. I will say that this is what Media Matters and Right Wing Watch decided to cover from this episode to give you some context of like what he's talking about and has talked about already. We have people want to get into white Protestant countries.
Yeah.
We have
the ones that white Protestants stole from the people who want to get in there now.
We have globalists of demographically chosen Chinese and Islam as their way to go.
Can't be having that.
Against us.
It's almost like they want to get into those white Protestant. Wait, no, don't they want to get into those white Protestant countries though, right?
I don't know. But we also have Alex talking shit on the Amish unnecessarily. The Right Wing Watch could cover that. You could do a little dance on his face with that if you want. That would be very easy to do. A further thing that they could have covered if they wanted to is Alex explaining why Mark Dice isn't more popular.
What?
This would be a great thing for them to cover.
Wait, wait, wait. Why is he explaining it? Because the answer is obvious.
Lack of skill?
So many, yeah.
Doesn't have it?
Yeah.
Even bad at what he does?
Worse at everything that Alex Jones is even worse at.
The easiest fucking thing in the world to do is go down to a boardwalk and fuck with people, and he does that poorly?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why he's not
a lot
famous.
Of different reasons.
That's what we would say. Alex, right.
What's his take?
We know that intelligence agencies and other groups use this because it's not enough to blackmail somebody you're cheating on their wife or that you're gay. That doesn't work anymore. So they have to, like, induct you. And the Mexican mafia or in the Aryan Nations or whatever group you're in, you know, reportedly you got to go kill somebody to become a made member. Italian mafia the same way. You got to make your bones.
Sure.
But to get into Hollywood, you got to make your bones with a 13-year-old girl. That's the bare minimum. That's Roman Polanski who gets standing ovations.
Well, a good friend of mine is a casting agent, and this isn't true.
Oh, it's not?
Because, I mean, it's come out in the news. It's come out in investigations. I've talked to people. This is what it is. They say at the final level, I've been told this by major people, and this happened to Mark Dice. They said, we want you to pledge to Lucifer before we give you this national show. And I know the very production company he's involved in. I've been involved with it. And in the meeting with the head of it, he said, I just want you to pledge yourself to Lucifer. He said, are you messing with me because I'm a Christian? He goes, no, this is serious. I can't work with you unless you do that, okay? We work for Lucifer. So.
We work for Lucifer.
Hey, bro.
That's very direct.
Bro, Lucifer signs our checks.
Yo. We work for Lucifer, so let's let this go.
I don't believe this is true. But if it's true, I would assume that it's someone fucking with him. Like, it has to be, right? I mean, assuming that story is true, because it's secondhand coming from Mark Dice to Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Which is a tenuous link in the game of telephone. Like, the idea of him telling Alex this story, he's going to be lying to Alex to embellish it. Now, Alex is telling it to us, embellishing it even further. But if the literal truth of that story is the guy being like, you got to be in with Lucifer, that's more him being like, I don't want your show.
Hey, Mark.
I don't want you around.
Mark, we like your show idea, but I'm going to tell you this right now. Listen, I like your show, but I got to go up to my boss, and Lucy is not a huge fan of it. That means you're working for Lucifer.
That's also a possibility.
All right. She's really nice. Lucy Goosey? My boss,
Belle. I don't know if you've met Belle.
Belle Lucifer?
Belzebub.
Belzebub?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
It's a common name.
All right.
I don't know. This is so stupid. Like, I don't know. There's a point at which, like, us trying to, like, play with what might actually be talked about is kind of like, what are we even doing?
What's the point of this? What's the point?
So in this next clip.
Listen, bro. We work for Hades.
Right. I mean, that's absurd.
Fine.
It's
great.
It's perhaps the most silly thing you could possibly present as true. And then the second level of it is, who wants Mark Dice? Like, the idea. The very idea.
That Lucifer is recruiting Mark Dice.
The idea that Satan, the shoot devil, the literal devil, is like, this guy.
The morning star.
This guy has it.
Second in command to God himself.
I want him, but you gotta get him in the meeting to say he's cool.
Yeah.
So fucking stupid. Much like Alex's, like, lack of awareness and playing games with what, like, Amish do, he's doing the same thing with what Hollywood people do. And now here's the dangerous piece of it. There's absolutely abuse in Hollywood. There's absolutely child exploitation that happens.
Agreed.
We're not making fun of that at all.
Never.
The idea that we're laughing about, first of all, is that anyone wants Mark Dice. And then the second piece of it is the way that Alex Jones does this and talks about this very real issue that other people are dealing with, like Ronan Farrow is doing much
Les
more.
Les Moonves is, yep, yeah. Ronan Farrow is crushing
doing
it.
Doing much more serious, nuanced work that's based in reality.
Yeah.
Alex Jones is doing a disservice to all of that by bringing in so much bullshit into it. So in this next clip, Alex brings up something about what's bad about being in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Something that's really bad about it in his experience.
I was like, I mean, I can't go to Hollywood. Like, you'll be in the dressing room or taking a piss and somebody walks over and, you know.
I can't imagine someone coming up to people in a dressing room. Like, maybe if they're underage girls at a beauty pageant, I can't imagine what kind of temerity it would take to walk into a dressing room and harass people. I can't even imagine that. No president would ever do that, certainly.
Oh, absolutely not.
Isn't that?
Burn it down.
Yeah, burn it down.
Burn it down. Just burn it all down.
Yeah.
Burn it all down. Have we considered burning it all down?
You're getting real close to Ralphie May's blow it up!
Blow it up! Ralphie in peace.
But is he dead? Oh, he is dead.
He's dead. Oh. You didn't know, you didn't remember he was dead?
No, I didn't care. He was really mean to some friends of mine. When he came and did stand up in Columbia, Missouri.
You know, I've heard so many different, like, he had so many different stories of, like, he was alternately the most mean and then alternately the most generous. Like, I know people who've all of a sudden he's been like, yeah, I will pay for your entire life. And you're like, oh, shit.
I've heard similar things, but from the people I know closest, they're all negative.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, rest in peace, Ralphie May.
Sure.
He did have some fucking awful jokes.
Oh, yeah. No.
Back when I used to work from time to time at that club in Columbia, Missouri, Deja Vu was the name of it.
Yeah.
They would have those, like, you know, remember when you were hosting at Zany's, you were being like, there's going to be a long video before this.
They had
the same thing at Deja Vu.
Yeah.
But it would be who's coming up like a month from now.
Right.
Ralphie May was coming in a month and a half or whatever. And then so they'd play the video. And every time you would come and do a set, you have to watch that video. And it was just so bad because the joke that they decided to put in the video was talking about like how he named his daughter April, June, May. And be like, you know, what do people come up to me and they say, what'd your wife think about that name? And I said, she couldn't say shit. Her gyner was wrecked. Like, is that a joke? What is that?
Oh.
Why is that in the sizzle reel? Why is that?
I don't know.
That's going to get me to come to the show?
Look. You hear something like that, you think, I got to go see what the fuck is wrong with this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then his opener in the video, like legitimately, he comes to stage in a giant orange suit.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm a stand here and let y'all get used to this amount of orange on the stage.
Oh, boy.
So...
Hey,
so
I hate those jokes so fucking much.
Hold on.
I hate those jokes so fucking much.
So when we would do sets there, sometimes like me and my friends would be on the same show together doing guest sets. And one time me and very funny, not doing stand-up anymore, but very funny guy, Daniel Schar, who has a new movie. If you can find it on the internet, you should check it out. It's called Scraps.
Uh-huh.
Very funny. I went to the premiere of it. Very, very fun.
Nice.
He's a very, very funny dude. When he was still doing stand-up, we were there. That video played. It's so goddamn long. And he had to go up first. And so when he got up on stage, he's like, nah, I'm going to stand here and let you get adjusted to the amount of char on stage. Zero.
Nothing. Nothing. Of course.
Except me laughing my ass off in the back. Anyway.
There's nothing better than a comedian wearing something and then pointing out how crazy it is that he wore it.
Yeah, exactly.
By choice.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't it weird I chose to do this so I could say this?
Yeah, it's so crazy. It's almost like I planned on doing this.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't have any of those. I don't have any of those jokes because I only like, you gotta give it up to those guys for at least writing like 8 new hours every year or whatever the fuck it is. Like, I don't have any of those jokes because I write 1 new joke a year. Like, it's terrible.
It's a good pace.
Yeah.
Anyway, we gotta get back into this.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Now, I will say that I know that Ralphie May is from Texas.
I'm waiting on a good transition right here.
Ralphie May is from Texas, and I know this because one of his specials is called Ostentatious.
Okay.
Austin.
I get it.
But
he's brilliant.
He spent a lot of his time in LA.
Yeah.
And we know that one thing from this next clip, and that is that LA.
That was a torturous route, but I like
it. Not my best transition.
It was torturous.
We know that LA is very satanic.
Okay.
I can't go even to LA to audition and even get paid $10,000 to audition because I can't be there. Like, I can barely go in to be on Joe Rogan's podcast. And I have to, like, man up. And I can take anything. I can't go to L.A. Like, I'm flying in. I feel like I'm dying. I mean, it's so satanic. My God. And that's the main enemy attack base. That's what's sucking the soul.
I would agree that maybe he had a tough time because how hard he was self-medicating when he was on Rogan's podcast, and how fucking wasted he was and acting like a dum-dum.
Could have something to do with it.
But yeah, I'd also say I don't know who's paying Alex Jones $10,000 to, audition for something.
I'm gonna go with nobody.
But it's a good cover for why you're not in anything. Be like, I can't go to LA. It's too satanic.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Sure.
It's pretty good.
Is it?
I mean, in this audience, yeah, it plays.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it plays.
Fair enough.
So now, Jordan, I've been teasing this a little
bit. I didn't get a Just for Laughs auditions because Montreal is on fire.
Bingo. It's that. That same sort of mentality.
Yep.
So I've been teasing that there's a guest coming up. You have no idea who this dude is.
I don't.
You also, once the name is said, you'll have no idea who this dude is.
All right, that's great.
Nor should you. Here's Alex introducing him.
So, the globalists are trying to brainwash humanity, turn off our life force, turn off our survival instinct. Hollywood is their main weapon. And we're joined by Isaac Cappy, who's a pretty big movie star. He's been in a lot of big films, big supporting roles, a lot of starring roles. I'm not going to go over all the films he's been in.
I wonder why.
But he's coming out in this whole plethora of sex stuff happening and pedophile news and James Gunn, you know, worshiping pedophilia.
Sure.
He's a pedophile booster.
You figured that one out.
And 400,000 signatures or whatever saying rehire him. And he's saying they've tried to induct me into this. So we appreciate him.
So we got Isaac Cappy, which I actually kind of suspect is buzz marketing for Super Mario Odyssey, because the new character in it is Cappy, who is like a spirit that embodies Mario's hat. You can throw him around and stuff. He's a new character, Cappy.
Did not know that.
Also reminds me of the movie Chappie. There's a number of reasons.
There's a bunch of reasons.
That I don't think this guy is sincere.
What has he been in?
Whoa, boy.
I've heard he's been in a number of supporting roles and a number of starring roles, and somebody said that they didn't want to even get into what roles he's been in because he's been in so many.
Well, I don't want to tell tales out of school.
Okay.
About what roles he's been
in. So just give me a sampling of his IMDb page, which I am sure is filled with big blockbuster hits.
I'll do that on the other side of this clip because I would rather let Isaac Cappy, respond to Alex's allegation that he's a big movie star himself.
And I would like to dispel a few things you said. I'm not a big movie star. I've been in a lot of movies, but I'm not a big movie star. Also, I really would like to get in front of this. I never threatened Paris, and in fact, I reached out to her yesterday. We texted back and forth, and I said, look, I know you're a good person. I don't want to bring you into this. They are trying to draw you in, because that's what sociopaths do. They use other people around them. They don't care who they hurt. They just bring them in. And I will say there is a lot more to that story. It's not relevant, though, and it's not relevant to the conversation.
Sure, I mean, that's this a classic tactic. It's a distractionary tactic to, like, change the subject. But, I mean, I don't really follow Hollywood, and I know who you were, so I'm just saying you're an established actor.
Sure.
I never threatened Paris Hilton?
Jackson.
Paris
Michael Jackson's daughter.
Paris Jackson.
Yes. Has alleged that this guy, Isaac Cappy, choked her at a party.
What?
Yeah. To the point where it's being reported in some, like, you never know how, like, sincere, like, sort of gossipy blogs are, or gossip websites are.
Sure.
You know, I don't give a fuck about celebrity news, although this is a little bit elevated because this guy is clearly unhinged and mentally ill.
Yeah.
And the allegation that he choked her is much more serious than, say, Paris Hilton wore a weird shirt at a bar or something like that.
Gossip
news.
I was trying to find very, because my first thought was like, wait, did he threaten the city of Paris?
No.
Because if he's an Alex Jones guest, that's entirely possible. Then he could have been like, I know people heard me say I was going to bomb Paris, but I'm not going to, like.
He did threaten the city of Los Angeles, though, and okay. He said something to the effect of, in a tweet that he has since deleted, That if people come after him, like the globalists or
those
the powers that be come after him, he's going to rain 50 cows all over the place.
All right.
He's going to go on a shooting spree.
So he did it. Right. Whatever it is, he did.
That part that he's defending himself from is this allegation from Paris Jackson that he choked her at a party. I don't know if that's true. I'm going to guess based on his behavior that it's possibly true. I don't know. I don't have any skin in the game, but in terms of him being a big movie star, I do like his lack of ego about it, because he's not. He's been in a couple big movies, like he was in Iron Man.
He was
in Terminator Salvation.
Well, that's a thing.
But his roles were like guy at store or something like that. He's a glorified extra in a couple of movies.
Right.
And then if he had any starring roles at all, they were like weird short films that are on his IMDb resume. He's done not a whole lot.
Right.
If you look into it, he hasn't even worked in anything in like the last year and a half, 2 years.
Neither have I. So good on him.
Sure. I'm not shitting on him for that.
I was never an Iron Man.
No, you wish you were. You're part of the MCU. If you could only be an extra. If you could only have been an extra in Marvel's cinematic universe.
In the MCU.
It's turned into a real hot button issue on our Facebook page. About whether or not Howard the Duck is part of MCU.
Wait, what? All right.
Our buddy Jim pointed out that Howard the Duck is part of the MCU.
Uh-huh.
And then it became an argument of whether that's canonical or not. And boy, got ugly.
I love you.
Got ugly.
I love everyone.
So Alex has already in the introduction said that this guy was going to be inducted into this satanic order in Hollywood.
Yes, of course.
And he tried to build him up as like a very large movie star, which Isaac himself has rebuffed and been like, I've been in some movies. I'm not really a big star or anything. So,
or an actor.
I mean, he's acted. I don't care. I don't want to split hairs.
All right.
I just want to let Isaac speak his piece and explain why he's on the show.
Let's do it.
I have a singular mission. When the James Gunn stuff came up, like I've been watching these people talk. They're liars. And the root of it is that they're pedophiles. James Gunn is a pedophile, and I know because his friends are pedophiles. Seth Green is a pedophile. He told me he was a pedophile, okay? Like, and I'm tired of the cult state ripping apart our country and brainwashing people. It's driving me nuts.
So could be legally actionable.
Seth Green is a pedophile, and he said so.
Right. Hold on to that, because we're going to get into his explanation here in a few. But I would say that Alex, even though he really gave a lot of pretty insistent caveats that like, I don't know if it's a good idea to have this guy on the show.
Yeah.
That's not going to save you in court when you allow a guy to slander somebody on your program.
No, I think that's literally legally actionable, right?
Well, it's certainly legally actionable against Isaac Cappy. Now, he's already said these things in his live streams and shit.
Uh-huh.
Like he goes on Periscope. He does, some of that bullshit. And he said that Seth Green's a pedophile and all this shit over and over again.
Sure.
He's accused Steven Spielberg of being a pedophile, Tom Hanks.
Right.
He's doing all this stuff, but
not Tom Hanks.
But if you keep track of it, a lot of it is stuff that these weird Pizzagate dudes have already been making accusations about on the internet.
It's not
really anything.
It's not firsthand information.
Well, it is only in the sense that he does know Seth Green.
Okay.
He absolutely knows Seth Green.
So he got fired by Seth Green.
He's at least been at some game nights with Seth Green.
Okay.
But then you have to also take into consideration other things he says in his streams, like he's accused the Rothschilds of cannibalism.
Right.
He thinks that Pizzagate is proven and documented. Those
True.
Sorts of things. That, like, all right. Oh, and the other thing is, like, when I was saying that I'm not sure if I believe gossip sites, but, you know, you'd take this for what you will.
Yeah.
They were reporting that based on what he did to Paris Jackson, she has had to move. Like, she's had to move because he knows where she lives and he has kept trying to contact her.
All right. So he's
that sort of thing. I don't know if that's true, but it seems very plausible.
I think in the world that we wade around in, you are pretty much guilty until you prove your innocence.
Maybe. Let's let him talk.
In our world, in the fucking sewer that we existed in, we're not talking about people.
Well, let's let Isaac Cappy try and give his story before we judge too harshly, because I know what's coming up, and I think this guy's a shithead. But you don't know that. The audience doesn't know that. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself.
I'm just saying that if you're a man on Alex Jones's show, I will believe whatever a woman said about you ever.
You are coming. You're playing from behind.
Okay.
You are definitely like, you know what it is? You're in the ninth. It's the ninth inning.
Uh-huh.
It's tied and you have to pitch first. That's what it is.
Top of the ninth.
If someone, no, wait, that's not, no. That doesn't work.
That's top of the ninth.
Yeah, I know, because
bottom of the ninth is I'm bad at.
At the bottom, because at the bottom, then you get a chance to tie it up.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is it's, you're on thin ice.
I'm on thin ice.
It's sudden death. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a sports metaphor. I don't like sports.
Put this in goblin terms then, Dan.
All right. Cause you're a goblin.
All right.
You're with a bunch of other goblins.
They're my friends.
You're playing hockey.
We're all, why are we playing hockey?
It's three overtimes.
There's no
ice.
It's
not a shootout.
Okay, it's a shootout. It's a goblin shootout. It's a classic goblin shootout.
I don't know sports.
But we were talking about goblins.
Anyway, let's let Isaac Cappy speak his piece.
Hang himself.
So this is part of his story that is so crazy.
Okay.
All right, we'll continue 100%. Though. So when did it get to the point? Like Mark Dice, they didn't ask him to have sex with kids, but they said, we want you to join Lucifer, you know, before we give you this TV
show. Well, I was at a party, and then this child showed up with a man and a woman.
Maybe their parents?
And he was asking for Seth Green.
Maybe Seth Green's friends came over with their kid, and I don't know, wasn't suspicious at all.
Who was out of the country at the time. And that's when I was like, oh man, they want some blackmail on me. They want to pin me down and get
me
involved in
this.
And I have no desire to get into anything like that.
Cool.
So.
Cool.
God, it sounds like you do.
Well,
though.
Yeah, I never saw anything illegal, but I was at some big parties and I'm like, why are 15-year-old girls at this party with weirdo, creepy lawyers and like, you know, oh, I get a martini.
Yeah.
I'm 15 years old. I'm like, I'm out of here.
They're child actors?
Yeah, I understand that. I have also been at gatherings where there have been 15-year-olds, and it's been fine, and no one's drinking, and it's just we're just hanging out and playing board games.
Sure, I'm not saying you're not at the beach with your family and the 15-year-old sneaks a beer. That doesn't always mean there's pedophilia. I'm just saying you're at a Hollywood party, and you know you got scantily clad girls that don't look like they're 18. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, it is. It is weird.
What are you guys talking about? What's happening here?
Drew Barrymore?
So that part at the end there,
are they talking about Drew Barrymore from the 90s?
That part at the end there, they're undercutting their own argument.
Yeah.
Because he's saying that you be at a party in Hollywood where, like you said, child actors might be there.
Yeah, and they have their lawyers there because they're child actors.
Well, that's a possibility. I don't know what Alex is trying to depict. But, like, the idea that there's a 15-year-old like who's at the party playing board games with you and nothing happens, that kind of undercuts the, oh, it's always suspicious if a 15-year-old is at the party.
A little bit.
The part at the beginning there where he's talking about a kid showing up with a dad and a mom, conceivably.
Yeah, disgusting.
Looking for Seth Green when Seth Green is out of the country. I would say that precludes it from being anything suspicious, because if it was a child delivery, they would fucking know that he was out of the country. You don't risk that kind of thing.
wait.
You're committing a major crime. Why would you bring kid over to...
Why wouldn't you even text first? At least send a text.
Exactly.
Now, maybe you don't want a paper trail, right? Send literally any sort of missive.
Carrier
in a
pigeon.
Way that it's something. What are you talking? Why is your first thought, okay, parents bring their kid over and Seth Green's out of the country, so obviously they're trying to get me to fuck a kid. That's the type of thinking
of
a man who really wants to fuck a kid.
See, you're looking at it that way. I think it's just someone who is either grossly opportunistic and is trying to make a buck.
Probably.
Or is mentally ill and has insane delusions of paranoia.
Almost certainly.
Those two things are the most possible.
It can be all three.
And I will give Alex some credit that, like I said, I've brought this up a couple times. He had misgivings about the idea of talking to this guy.
Yeah.
And I will.
He doesn't sound like he has misgivings right now, though. But it sounds like he's jumping in whole hog.
I will tip my hat to him for at least having that kind of, you know, in that sort of awareness. That like, this could go really badly. Yeah. And at this point, it's not going really badly. Alex is trying to get him to, you know, do the narrative that he wants. He's bringing up Mark Dice. He's trying to weave in, like, I've been at parties too.
Let's get the
vague narrative together that I want.
Right.
I don't like how you keep bringing up Seth Green. That's probably illegal.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think he might be able to sue you, and then I've got to get deposed. Goddamn lawsuit.
He's sweary carrying the narrative here, mm-hmm. is what he's doing.
He's hoping to,
yeah.
I think. And that's another thing that I think as we go along and get through the rest of these clips, you will see a little bit of him trying to, like, write the story
yeah.
as the story is being told.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Alex gets kind of, like, just tell me your goddamn information. Like, because I think even he heard that, like, a kid showed up and there was a man and a woman and Seth Green wasn't there, that sort of thing.
That's weak.
I think he thinks that's weak.
Even for Alex, that's weak.
And then on top of that, I think that Alex has been burned in the past by people like Joe yeah. Biggs
yeah.
coming in with that Pizzagate shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he got in trouble and had to apologize to James Alefantis. He
right.
doesn't want to have to film a video where he apologizes to Seth Green.
And that'd be a fun one.
And so he is like, just tell me your information,
would
Isaac.
He do it as a robot chicken? He would do a little puppet version?
That's going to come back into play.
Okay.
Bottom line, without getting into all the names, what's the data dump? If you had 5 minutes on national TV, which this is, millions are tuned in right now.
Not.
Millions will watch later.
It's
what
not.
Is the data dump of your experience, what you saw, what they
sure,
said?
Sure.
You were going to break. People just joined us. So go back to that.
Real quick. Alex asked him for the information and he started weaving a weird tale, as the outro music played. Now he's like, we're coming back from break.
Right.
He didn't say anything that Alex doesn't recap here before they went to commercial. I was going to keep both clips just for context, but Alex does a pretty decent
really
job of summing
yeah.
it up.
To that, you were talking about Pizzagate to this girl, you know, this other Hollywood actress. And then all of a sudden she goes, oh, and then what happens next?
That's very close to what he
said. Here's the data dump, okay? Let's just be really concise about it. Seth Green, at his house, after a party, we were all kind of drinking, pulled back a secret bookshelf and said to me, this is where we keep the children, all right?
That sounds like someone who's not being sincere.
Yeah.
Sounds like someone who's like, oh, isn't this a dumb joke?
It sounds like somebody who's been professionally funny for a long time.
Right? They're the top floor in that Malibu house was covered in stuffed animals.
Is that a guest room for maybe that couple with their kid that came and didn't know he was out of town?
Or just a room for somebody who does a show with puppets.
Oh, yeah, it's possible that the...
with toys and puppets.
Oh, that's an interesting theory.
That is his entire job.
He's being very unspecific about what these stuffed animals are. Maybe they're collectibles of the nerd culture stuff that
yeah!
Seth Green's entire career is based on.
There was a room with a bunch of bunk beds. Okay.
All right, that's different.
mind you, after that experience, I tried to block it out and just laugh it off because it's hard, you know, because you trust these people. I love them. I love them so much. I love them. And then
you got fired.
You know, a month later, Seth tells me at the dinner table we need to have a talk about chicken. And in case you're not aware, chicken is a pedophile code word for very young child.
Or
he,
his show,
he
Robot
told me
Chicken.
He's into kids. So, like, I don't know what more data people want.
You have already solved the mystery.
His show, Robot Chicken. We need to have a talk about chicken. Do you mean his show, Robot Chicken?
That has
the
been
show.
On the air for 13 years?
The show he does called Robot Chicken?
It's very much still an active show.
Do you mean not the pedophile code word that nobody has ever used?
Mm.
Or maybe it has been used, but come on.
It's allegedly used.
If there is a thing that Seth Green might say with the use of the word chicken, I'm going to go with his show, Robot Chicken.
Right. It's like if you and I were, or like I was.
Hey,
trying
we're gonna. We need to talk about knowledge, Dan.
No. Or like if I was out, you know, like maybe we go meet up with a bunch of comics, and one of them I want to fill in for you one time.
Yeah.
Like we gotta go. We talk about this fight. I'm not talking about fighting.
That's exactly what, that's exactly what Fight Club say.
Now, granted, we don't call the show Fight, but on a, on some level, you could, that could be a way I might drunkenly present it to somebody.
Sure.
You know, and the idea that he's over for a dinner party and he's like, we got to talk about chicken. That is 100% what he probably
there's
was talking about.
No, there's
especially based on the other weak shit that he's presenting in terms of like he had a secret room. He's like, "This is where we hide the kids," and he does the Alex Jones creepy voice, even which is
exactly.
That makes it not real.
Yeah,
and then the oh, there's stuffed animals in a room, and again the bunk beds part, like you facetiously was like, "This proves it." Again, guest room, bitch. I hate that I said bitch there, but like it's so stupid.
I don't know.
Like you have, you could easily. Like, if you have a mansion, the idea is, like, I know from some experience.
Mansion-wise.
Watching the lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Right.
Watching Cribs.
Okay.
A lot of people who have mansions have rooms that people can stay in that they know from their life before they were rich.
Because they're rich enough to be like, hey, I'm going to build a room for you.
Isn't this great that I can now have a place where you can stay with me in Malibu if you come and vacation?
Sure.
You don't have to go to a hotel. You have access to my mansion.
Do you know how great it is that I have so much disposable income that I can build a room for you to visit once a year?
Yeah. That's human.
Great.
So the idea that there's a room with bunk beds, again, comes down to the idea that maybe Seth Green has a lot of friends with kids. And they like to stay, and like maybe you would want to allow the kids to have their own room if they
could
come
be.
And stay.
Could be.
If I were super rich, that would be in my house.
Yeah.
Because I have enough friends that are close to me that are now married or on their way to having kids.
Yeah.
Like, let's say I were to, I don't know, perfect world.
Yes.
I end up, we become super successful with this podcast.
Sure.
To the point where I'm super rich, you're super rich too, we don't have to work anymore. Maybe you stay in Chicago, I decide, fuck it, I'm going to France.
Sure.
I get a big old house in France.
That'd be fun.
You and your girlfriend get married, have some kids, we do the show over Skype or something like that to keep things going, everything is good. But
right.
Sometimes you like to have a vacation in Europe.
We want to go to France.
Right. You have kids.
Yeah.
I have a room dedicated
sure.
for when you come and visit in my chateau.
Sure.
That is something that... Like
that makes perfect sense.
My brother, like, is,
what you
my
don't
brother
understand.
Has a
yes.
huge house.
Yes,
there are rooms in that house that are just for other people,
right?
Specifically, that don't match his lifestyle at all, because he has people who come and stay with him.
Yeah,
because he's in a position of his life where he can be like, "This is a room for others."
Yeah,
this is not weird.
You don't understand, though, in this fantasy scenario, what I would do if I were rich. Which is test the limits of the different justice systems. I would go around committing so many fucking crimes. So many fucking crimes.
Or state to state.
I would burn down.
State to state or country to country.
Burn down homes anywhere I could go. Anywhere I could go. Do you know how many crimes rich people get away with? I would test every single fucking limit of that. Try and put me in jail. Try and put me in jail.
I dare you.
I'm so rich. I don't even give a fuck. Burn it down.
Making it rain on courts.
Burn it down. I'll pay for all of your lawyers. You know what? I'll pay for the prosecution's lawyers.
This has created a really fun mental picture of you, like, arsoning. It's like
for
setting
sure.
fire to someone's house and
oh,
they
yeah.
come out and you just have a
with,
checkbook. Your
with
checkbook.
$100 bills is how I would start fires on other people's homes.
So they come out of the house that's burning
yep.
down. You have a checkbook and you're like, let it happen.
yes.
What's
yes.
it going to take for you to be
you,
cool?
You have nailed my rich person fantasy scenario.
That's horrible. But I do like it. I do like it on one level because maybe they didn't like the house they were living in. And because of the numbers you could write on that check, you could buy
exactly.
them a better house.
Exactly.
It's a slight inconvenience, but you are helping the working man.
I am the worst Robin Hood there's ever been. I'm a joyriding Robin Hood is what I'm doing.
You're an upfront abusive Robin Hood. Pays off on the back end.
Yeah, yeah.
Shitty. You're Robin yeah. Hood who's working on spec. Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put you up in a hotel for a while. I'm going to burn your house down. You're going to come watch. We're all going to have a great time. I'm going to buy you a new house.
And,
I'm a good guy.
And then, oh, here's
yeah.
what you got to do.
Yeah, here we
I
go.
I like that. I like
all
that.
Right.
You
here
put
we go.
Him up in the hotel,
yeah.
right?
What hotel? Are we talking about like a Hilton? I'm
3-star.
3-star?
3-star.
I feel like I'd be a better rich person than that.
3-star.
That's penny pinching rich person. Penny pinching rich person
Five,
behavior.
4.
Okay.
Anyway, here's what you do.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
All right.
You bring a recorder as you watch the house burn.
Okay.
The podcast is them watching the house burn.
So now I'm doing a podcast with them as their house burns.
Yeah. My guest is the guy who's watching his house burn. How do you feel right now? Any memories you think you're not going to be able to recover from that?
Hey, guys, welcome to the new episode of Real Estate Fight. I've got the Smith family over here. We're now watching their
Mr. Smith,
30-year-old home burned to the ground. It was built by their grandfather by his own hands.
Mr. Smith, I know you're crying right now, but you have to keep in mind that you're going to end in a better place. On the other end of this, you're going to have a better house. I think that'd be a great podcast. There's ethical issues with it, but I think
there are a few.
I think that could be a mini series on
Do I let them keep mementos, or do I have to stipulate that they keep it all in there?
They can only keep any copies they have of the DVD of Memento. Anything else has got to burn.
Okay. All right.
No.
What about knickknacks?
No. You got to go Survivor on it.
Go Survivor on it.
So if you've ever watched Survivor, one of the things is they get to bring one luxury item. Everyone who comes on the show gets to bring one, like,
I did not
like
know
a
that.
Razor. You could bring a razor to shave and stuff like
I've
that.
Never watched Survivor.
Everybody gets to bring that. So every member of the family gets one item. Sentiment item that they get to take out of the house.
Ooh. And then on the podcast, we'll talk about their sentimental item and why it was that they chose that. And then there'll be the crackling of, we'll roast marshmallows. It'll be fantastic.
This is the best idea for a podcast. This is right up there with TV show with the, like, I Can Save the Show, the stand-up show that we pitched.
Oh, like, that's right. Yeah.
God damn it. We could be so rich.
We could be. We're ideas men, Dan.
Yeah, I know.
We're ideas men. We can't follow through on
so
this shit.
So good at this. Anyway.
What were we talking about again?
So Isaac Cappy.
This dude is accusing Seth Green of being a pedophile. Is that how we got on to that I'm going to burn down homes as a podcast show?
Well, we had to talk about something real.
Yeah.
So Isaac is basing a lot of this stuff on the fact that Seth Green said we need to talk about chicken. At this dinner party.
Yeah, which eerily resembles the show that he does.
And I gotta be honest, Alex finally shows some wherewithal as a journalist.
Okay.
In this clip.
Here we go.
I don't like giving props to Alex.
Right, of course not.
This is as close as it's gonna get to Alex being like, good job, buddy.
Maybe they thought you were into Pizzagate. They thought you were funny. They knew you. They were teasing you. Sacha Baron Cohen might have been videoing it as a joke. I mean, how do you know? What I'm saying is, when did he actually say something?
He said it at that conversation. We're already eating dinner, okay? So ask yourself, why would someone say we need to have a conversation about chicken? How does that make any sense?
Yeah, I hear you, but that isn't proof of him.
Alex, please stop fucking interrupting me, brother.
Hit pause. Delete that. Go ahead. We're on radio and TV. We can't say cuss words. I'm not going to interrupt you. Fine. I don't know how someone saying chicken is that. Go ahead.
Okay. So while we are already eating dinner, he says, we need to have a conversation about chicken.
Eating.
And I say, to be quite honest, when that hit me, I was like, this wave of dread. Cause like I had, you know, I was like, they might be into this stuff. They might be into this stuff. He confirmed that they are into children. I asked him if they were into sacrifices and stuff like that. He said they weren't, but, you know, he was already, you know, lying about other stuff. So who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Alex presses a little bit more about the idea of, like, what did he say?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I don't remember exactly what he said. Like, go fuck yourself then.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here with you trying to recharacterize fake conversations that you had based on this Pizzagate fear that you already had that you brought in to inform this conversation with someone who is so decent enough to let you as a fucking no-name out-of-work actor into his circle. You're just trying to cash in on Seth Green's celebrity. It's fucking nonsense. And now, again, you know what? A week from now, it could come out that Seth Green's a monster. And
sure.
Hey, I still don't believe this guy.
No.
I'm not defending Seth Green. I'm saying that this guy's story is shit.
Yeah.
That's all. And I love that Alex, like, because he's been burned in the past, is like, he said chicken. That's not proof of anything.
Alex is at a on a certain level, whenever I'm listening to this, I feel like Alex is getting out a lot of the frustration that he has.
With himself?
No.
Oh.
With his shitty underlings.
And his audience.
Like, it's so much like, for real, you're gonna bring this Mark Dice bullshit at me? Like, I already have people who are shitty at their jobs. Have you heard motherfucking these people talk?
You ever talked to David Knight?
Yeah, have you ever talked to David Knight? I have to run this whole operation, and you're just coming at me with, he said chicken? Fuck off!
David Knight tried to call his show Real News, and then we got in trouble because that was copyrighted and can't call our show that. So I said to him,
and also it wasn't.
So why don't we call the show Living Walking Quaalude? Why don't we call it Human Sedative? And then David Knight's like, I just want to call it something else. I don't know. I don't think that's going to market very well. You know what I deal with having to talk to that motherfucker? And now you're coming into my goddamn show. One of my interns found you on Twitter or Reddit, one of your dumbass Periscope things. He said, you got to interview this guy. I said, oh, I don't think it's a good idea, but now I do. You're fucking naming Seth Green repeatedly on my show. This is going to get us fucking sued, you dick. You do your Periscopes. No one's watching. Everyone hates me now. You understand? I am fucking in the hopper. You come on my show and say that Seth Green's a pedophile. This is going to blow back on me. Now, I would love to have this dance. In other circumstances, I would love to do it. But it is too hot right now. I have to say, chicken doesn't mean shit. Alex is backed into a corner where he has to use the skills that he actually has.
Oh my God.
But never flexes.
This is the problem with this is the problem with this not being a live show. If every single one of our listeners that heard that rant was like, yeah, and then just started fucking clapping. That was perfect. Nobody understands Alex Jones better than you do, right. And you should cry.
Yeah, but also, if they were watching it live, I'd be super embarrassed because I got the tiniest bit animated.
Oh, you went fucking, oh, that was beautiful.
And I usually have no.
That was beautiful.
I usually
actually,
have no
I'm
pulse
sorry.
And sit
pause that.
Silently.
Pause that. So, we can't swear on this show.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I love that, though. I very rarely ever hear someone drop a fuck.
Yeah,
on
he threw. I kept finding, like, I was writing in my head, like, oh, he didn't say fucking because you can't say fucking on the show.
Did.
No, he totally did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's great.
Yep. Alex is the only one who gets to say fucking on his show. I'm not a fucking Russian agent, Adam Schiff. Fill your hand.
Fill your hand.
So,
by the way, you can go to fillyourhand.com. It will redirect you to knowledgefight.com.
And click support the show. We need help. So the other thing, dude, is that, like, okay, I've made it very clear. I don't believe this guy.
Yeah.
I think this is the thinnest soup.
It's not good.
Of all time.
It's not good.
But he comes up with a rebuttal that I think is actually worth examining.
So is it about Booyabase?
How dare you?
So if what I'm saying is false, why would there be such a concerted effort to shut me down on every platform that the cult state controls?
Because it's libel.
Because crimes.
Because it's illegal.
Because crimes exist.
Because
there are crimes.
Because you're slandering someone.
Because sometimes crimes.
If you speak it, it's one crime. If you type it, it's another.
You know what?
You are without any evidence other than he said chicken, making a horrible claim about somebody.
If I had murdered that guy, why would everybody be trying to prosecute for me for murder? Come on.
Doesn't make sense.
Come on. Why, if I murdered somebody, why would everybody be trying to say that I murdered him?
They need,
come on.
They need me to shut up because it's so true. Cause
I've murdered so,
That's the wrong angle.
That's not a good angle.
So I was, you're too good at this. And I was hoping to, like, I was hoping to, like, never discuss that Seth Green's show is called Robot Chicken.
How would that not be the first thing you think of?
I know.
If Seth Green and the word chicken are in the same sentence, even if it was like Seth Green had chicken for dinner, I'd be like, did he have robot chicken for dinner?
Well,
like, that's the only thing you can think!
Cause it's been on air for 13
for
years.
For so many long years! Yeah. So
it premiered in 2005. But the reason that I was hoping to, like, tease it out is just because they don't bring it up for quite a while.
How do they not bring it up?
Until Alex does in this next clip, which again, I gotta give him props for.
Okay.
Let me ask you this question, Cappy. You're really good buddies. We looked it up. We didn't just believe you.
No, you didn't.
With Seth Green going back for years. So suddenly you're turning against him. His show's called Robot Chicken. You make this chicken joke. Is this not the ultimate outdoing Sacha Baron Cohen stunt right now?
I would like to dispel this one more time. This is not a media stunt.
Cool. I like Alex's, like, I like his fear. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, I like that he's gun shy a little bit because he's wrong. This guy's just crazy. But I like the idea that, like, because everyone, all these people got tricked by Sacha Baron Cohen, that now he has to be, like, really on his guard.
Right.
That, like, wait a second. Your proof is that he said chicken. His show is Robot Chicken.
Yeah.
Are you just some sort of weird, prank that's going on? Is it, like, I like
that. That is actually good.
He's wrong, but his brain went there,
which is at
least a nice next step.
I know.
I appreciate that.
I was.
That's like a child, like watching a child find the wrong but interesting solution to a problem.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Like, all right. So this circle doesn't fit into the cube hole, but the cube hole, if I turn it this way, will fit into the diamond hole. That's pretty much the same thing.
Or it's like, well, if we make the square hole bigger, the circle will fit.
Ah.
Interesting solution. You're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
You're not what we're going for.
But you're thinking. I appreciate that.
That's creativity, at least.
That's how low the bar is for Alex.
I know.
The fact that his brain does
legitimately,
that is like crazy.
Legitimately crazy. Shocked. Shocked. That he actually brought up Robot Chicken at all.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Because for a moment there, I was like, oh, well, of course he would bring up Robot Chicken. And when you said, I'm surprised that he pushed back at all, I was like, oh yeah, of course. Because if this Sacha Baron Cohen, if he hadn't been tricked by this in the past, Robot Chicken would never have come up at all.
Probably
not. He would
not.
Have been all in on the bullshit narrative.
No, I don't think necessarily.
I don't know if it's, I'm not saying it's Sacha Baron Cohen specifically.
No, not entirely. But
I'm saying if he hadn't been burned so many times, this would be such the thing where he's like, yeah, let's jump into it. Let's go all the way.
Well, there's one piece that I didn't bring up because it's kind of unnecessary, but because it's come up in conversation, it's relevant. I think one of the biggest reasons that Alex is like, with or without Sacha Baron Cohen, would be pushing back against this guy a little bit.
It's because he's getting sued?
Well, there's that. Yeah. But also the QAnon world and like the Reddit and 4chan subs about him are largely like, don't trust this guy. Like most of the internet's conspiracy community has red flags on Isaac Cappy.
Oh, okay.
Because there are stories, like, about him choking Paris Jackson.
Right.
Because there are people from his past who have anonymously posted on these forums about knowing him and him being, like, an attention kind of whore guy.
Yeah.
Then also there are stories, these are apocryphal, I can't really sort these out or not. I'm only reporting this in as much as it is why these internet communities don't trust him.
Yeah.
They say that he's tried to, in private messages, get people who are quote unquote whistleblowers to identify themselves as if it were a doxing operation.
Okay.
Like trying to get private information from people.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but that's what they're saying on the web about him. So there's a distrust about him as a whole. I think Alex took this on as like a, well, I'm playing, I don't know why I'm using another goddamn poker metaphor, but I'm playing a Jack 5 suited. Maybe something weird will happen. You know, like he's accepting this interview as like, I'm coming in with a bad hand. I can walk away from, I can fold in the middle of this. There's no big deal.
Yeah.
I'm not emotionally invested in this, but if it hits, it's going to hit big.
Right.
And we're in the middle of the interview and it is not hit.
Yeah.
It is not hit.
Nuh-uh.
But the weird thing that happens is that like Alex pushes back against him and he's like, chicken doesn't mean shit. And then he's like, he has a show called Robot Chicken. Sacha Baron Cohen is fucking with people right now. Do you understand what's going on?
Yeah.
So he gets all
that. Are you fucking with me? Yeah.
So he gets that all out of his system. And then after he said it, it's almost like his hotheadness cools.
Mm.
And then he's like, yeah, I know they are fucking kids in Hollywood. So, you know, maybe there's some truth to what you're saying. He kind of becomes like, ah, we're cool.
Yeah.
He's really aggressive to the point where Isaac is like, people fucking say this all the time.
And
he has to, you know, use the delay.
Right.
And then Alex is just like, yeah, right, you're cool. Like, what? He didn't say anything to prove his point. And
he's still
cool.
Alex. He's still Alex.
He's still Alex.
He's still Alex.
So he interviews him for like, I don't know, probably half an hour. And it's crazy. It's crazy. And he gets to this. There's no more meat here.
Yeah.
There's no more meat.
Okay.
They have already done, like, everything.
We've got what we wanted to get.
Everything else that Isaac Cappy says is all just like the same shit and like, well, I think this, like no information at all.
Yeah.
So we've dealt with him having the child delivery. We've heard him say that Seth Green has a
chicken
false room in his house and some plush animals.
Yeah.
And that he talks about chicken. However, this is the most important clip.
Okay.
Of it all. It has nothing to do with what they're talking about.
Here we
go. But it has everything to do with two dudes who are both trying to lie to each other coming to loggerheads.
Okay.
It's so good.
Here we go.
People always ask, why doesn't anyone from Hollywood, why don't they come out? Why are there no whistleblowers? Well, I'm right here, okay? And this is like the best you're going to get for now until someone with all the blackmail material like
shows. Well, I'm a whistleblower. I've been at like private super A-list deals and I'm like, those girls are not 16. Maybe 16. I mean, I've seen it.
I don't doubt you have, but you haven't been intimate friends with these people like I have. Well, maybe you have and haven't talked about it. Yeah, I'm assuming there. But I know a lot of people in Hollywood. And,
you do.
The clip's not done. The clip's not done. But that's the greatest thing ever. I bet you do.
You fucking know Seth Green. What do you think? Seth Green is your A-lister? Come on, man.
These two guys are trying to ping pong back.
It's turned into a dick measuring contest 100%. About friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
My friends are more important than your friends. I know Charlie Sheen!
I haven't pointed this out at all, by the way. There's a guy in studio co-hosting with Alex who runs who runs a TV network that plays Alex. Like he has some sort of like maybe a satellite TV channel and he plays InfoWars shows on it. I haven't played any of him because his voice is a disaster. It's just like it's like a movie phone guy. He has hey, I'm a broadcaster voice.
Yeah.
And he's just an idiot. He doesn't say anything worthwhile, but he's sitting next to them.
He's been sitting there the whole time
while they're bickering. First of all, the whole thing about chicken, he's just silently sitting there. But then also while they're bickering here about hey, I'm sure you've been to the parties, but you're not like good friends with them. And you're you don't know.
I know a lot
of celebrities. I bet you do.
I bet you.
Know. So here's where that goes.
See, the top people who tried to recruit me were the producers and the directors and the lawyers. I skip right past the actors. You understand the actors are like, they're like the minions, right?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it should be noted, though, that Seth Green has a big production company with a bunch of TV shows under his banner.
No, I agree.
Oh, shit!
No one wins!
I know the big producers and the doctors.
Well, it should be done. Seth Green is the producer. And
I love that though because Alex is trying to cuck him by being like, "Look, you hung out with the actors. The producers tried to get me," and then very correctly, Cappy is like, "Seth Green has a giant production company that runs a show that's been on the air for 13 years and other shows. He's a massive player in terms of like being able to get things made." And then Alex is like, "Fair." And then, then without admitting that he's wrong, moves on to another point. It's just like, what are you guys doing? Wasn't this about the kid victims? Why are you guys pissing contest?
Seriously. Go to bed.
That's come back to it. Yes. Go to bed.
Go to bed.
You guys aren't doing anything.
Go to bed.
So at this point, after this pissing contest, the guy who shall not be named because I've forgotten his name and he's not important starts talking about how like, you know what, in Hollywood, what it is really that all these people who didn't have friends in high school get to rise to prominence. You know, like all these people who are really antisocial and didn't have any friends get to find themselves in a position where they have power over other people.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this earlier, a friend of mine who I'm not going to name because it's, you know, their business, but I have a friend who is a casting agent at I don't know if they're still at the same place, but they were working for one of the two largest casting agencies in the country.
Right, right.
And I've talked to them about the experience and, you know, like what they go through and none of this checks out.
Oh, it doesn't?
The reality of that world
Odd.
Or anything.
Odd.
And I know them from high school. I knew what they were like, and I'm using a ambiguous pronoun for a reason. They don't need their business on the street.
Right.
They were awesome. They had a lot of friends. They were super cool. I was asocial. I had trouble with stuff, and they were super nice to me.
Yeah.
They made me feel very welcome and comforted. Like I haven't spoken to them in a long time. In chronological terms.
Right.
But
which is why I don't have a job.
It's probably been a couple of years since, you know, we've actually had a real conversation.
Yeah.
But I care about them very much. They were amazingly social at that point in life.
Yeah.
Which flies counter to this.
A little bit.
So that guy is very dumb. But it leads to Alex. Man.
All right. Come on. Let's do it.
This is so bad. This is so good.
Here we go.
And then they go to Hollywood, and it's a big giant fly zapper, a big web where they can now be in charge. And the cheerleader that wouldn't date them, they're going to crap all over her and make them eat their poop. That's what they do. You know, that's one level of it. Like the Pope talks about, that's what he likes to do reportedly. I mean, think about that.
So Pope Francis likes to make
Pope Francis makes people eat poo in general or his poo?
It's hard to say based on pronoun reference, but I would assume it's his, right?
You think so?
Well, because Alex is saying,
I mean, he's the Pope. He hasn't flown in from many different places.
Oh, he gets that boutique.
Yeah, this is Vatican poo we're talking about.
Artisanal poo.
Yeah.
No, because Alex is saying that they crap all over them, which implies that the agency is on you.
Right.
You are the crapper and the crappy.
Yeah, but that's metaphorical.
Politically.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
God damn it.
Well, it's,
God damn it, Dan. What is going on?
Are we adults?
Are we adults?
No. No.
Are there adults around?
I'm glad this is a Friday.
Can someone call an adult?
I'm glad this is a Friday show because it's sort of like, hey, you know what? I'm going to now do this new thing where it's like on Friday, we let it all hang out.
Anybody,
to explain this retroactively.
Is anybody fucking paying attention? What are we doing?
I also love to, like, if we can just take 1 second to pump the brakes. He's talking about the Pope making people eat shit.
Yes.
Which is confirmed. Earlier he said that Obama is fucking 10 dudes a day. And
yep.
that the Amtrak means something else,
which we do not know.
I have no idea what that means.
I want to know what Amtrak means.
I imagine it's a train up your ass. I have no idea. I don't know.
I don't know.
So the issue that I come away with it is when Isaac Cappy said fuck on the show, he's like, this is a family show. Like, no, it's not.
That's right. I forgot that he uses it's a family show to describe why.
Like Scott Aukerman on Comedy Bang Bang as a joke is like,
yeah.
It's not that kind of
it's
show.
Yeah.
But Alex is legitimately saying like, this is a family show.
Hey, hold on. This is for the...
You're talking about the Pope making people eat shit.
Don't you know how the family gathers around like...
what are you doing? It's like, I hate him in the present because there's nothing really of substance.
Yeah.
And it's all of this nonsense bullshit.
Yeah.
But I do on some level, there's a part of me that likes it on some level just for how, like, I can't finish the sentence.
He kind of thinks that his show is a Prairie Home Companion, except for sometimes he talks about the Pope making people eat shit.
Well, if I had to give a broad prediction,
yeah.
I would say that like
the Pope is going to make somebody eat shit first.
Abroad. No, I think, and by that I mean overseas.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I meant. The thing that I'm going to predict:
two popes, one cup.
The thing that there are two alive now. The thing that I'm going to predict is that, like, from all...
You forgot the Dark Pope, though. There's three, at least.
The Black Pope and Solomon's Temple.
There's
that's right.
There's three, at least.
The thing that I'm going to predict is that Alex is going to, from these lawsuits, sort of learn his lesson that, like, you can't do this to civilians. People in power aren't going to care. You can yell about Soros being a demon all you want. He's never going to sue you because he has bigger fucking issues. He doesn't care about whatever bullshit you're saying. he knows it's not true, and he knows that libel laws are difficult.
Yeah.
So whatever, just live your life, you know, enjoy it. He can do this to the Pope, because the Pope's not going to sue him for saying that he makes people eat shit. He doesn't give a shit. The Pope has much bigger things to do. Like, recently also, he said that capital punishment is no good.
Right.
And he's also said that hell isn't real.
Right.
You know, Pope Francis has big issues on his plate.
He did that through eating a bowl of shit, though. Mm. Like, that was one of the things that he was doing while he was like, oh, shit is delicious. Also, by the way, capital punishment, cannot do it.
And why won't
that? I'm against the death penalty. I'm still going to protect child molesters, but I'm going to eat shit, and I'm against the death penalty.
I don't understand why the MSM won't report what he had as crudité while he made these announcements. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't nothing cruder than his crudité. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. All the pool reporters were there. They could smell it. They could smell it. Conspiracy.
Flies. Spinning around his mouth as the Pope says that the death penalty is no longer acceptable.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know what my point was necessarily about, like, what the value of present day is. I guess it's just that nothing matters.
Nothing, you know, matters, like, in the present.
Maybe that's the
nothing
the point.
Matters.
But I do like how weird some of this is, and who knows? There's this last clip here. I think this is a perfect place to end because it's profoundly weird.
Okay.
There's nothing that sets this up, like, legitimately.
Okay.
This doesn't come out of, like, a natural place.
This isn't, like, an organic evolution of the conversation.
Nope. I tried to go, like, maybe 15 seconds before to give it some context.
None.
But it would actually make it more confusing.
Okay.
Because the guy who runs that TV network is talking about something completely different.
Okay.
And then Alex comes in with this.
They send a transmission. It's spiritual. There's a transmission probably emanating out of, you know, one of the black holes, they think.
Sure.
I'm serious. That's what that
spiritual black
holes. Die, die, die. Kill yourselves. Be scumbags. Because there's a transmission, like all these planets, kill yourselves. No, do not listen to the transmission. Because there's a bigger transmission from God saying don't do it.
So Alex, he's not saying that they believe that. He's arguing that from a black hole, there's a transmission that's trying to say kill yourself to a bunch of planets that are unoccupied by anybody. But then we are getting this transmission from the black hole saying that we should kill ourselves. And by that, because we know Alex Jones enough, he means give minorities rights and be liberal with that sort of thing. That is what it will end up killing you. Be accepting of other people.
Right.
But God comes in and says, no, don't do that. And because we already know from our out of context drop, Trump is Christ-like. Do what Christ would do.
So.
Which is, be a monster.
Explain to me real quick.
I can't.
Black holes, which they believe exist.
They do.
Right. Send out a spiritual transmission.
Which would be tough to get out of the event horizon. You know, it would be tough to get a message out of the thing that sucks in everything.
No, we've all read Einstein's theory of relativity. We know that the only thing that escapes the event horizon is the spirit.
And shifty messages. messages.
So black holes spit out a spiritual message willy-nilly at 360 degrees.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Well, it's like on Lost, you know, the black hole is like Rousseau's transmission. You saw more.
Okay.
They're all dead.
All right. You know, all right.
It's that. It's they're all right. They give up all hope.
Right.
They're dead.
Right. So then you should kill yourself.
Right.
Why do black holes do this? Is that a thing?
Are you trying to ask me what the motivation of a black hole?
Is there a motivation behind the black hole, or is the black hole doing it, or is the black hole the real victim here in that it can't do anything but send out this transmission of yawning cosmic pain? Like, what's going on here? Is the black hole okay? I'm most concerned,
Jordan,
about the black hole.
Jordan, you've got this wrong.
No, how?
There is,
I can think of no way that I've got this wrong.
There is probably a Muslim who hates Western civilization on the other end of that black hole.
At the center of every black hole.
Who's just yelling.
All right.
Right, right. Just like at the center of every at the center of every galaxy, there is a supermassive black hole. At the center of every supermassive black hole, there is a supermassive Muslim.
Right, or non-Western person.
Non-Western person. Apologies.
Right,
apologies.
Right.
Could be a Chinese.
Obviously, in Alex's brain, it would present as a Muslim.
It could be a Chinese person as well.
Which you are most afraid of as a white.
Yeah. Well, black hole is probably the best way of putting it.
I love this because what we've done now is we've accidentally walked ourselves backwards into like what I think would be the perfect Ben Garrison cartoon. You know, like,
oh, there's a black hole and we name the black hole
everything.
Muslims, and then there's rays coming out that kill yourself, and then there's planets that are like Peter Schiff, like all of that shit. Yeah,
sure, throw him in.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
He's riding a bar of gold off in the distance for no reason.
Sure. And then Trump is the sun. Yeah, why not? Why the fuck not?
Sure.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? I love it, though, man. That's nonsense. I love
Whew, it. That's bananas.
Yeah. And also, it's a really fun way to end an episode where Alex is like...
No, he's wow.
Like, we spent the beginning of this with him defending himself about these very real lawsuits that are happening, and we discussed the ins and outs of that to the best of our ability as outsiders. We're not involved in his court cases or anything. And
we probably should be. You should call us to the stand.
Maybe.
We'd be great at it.
We know what we know and know what we don't. We don't pretend to. But
right.
We can discuss that, and that was the beginning of it. And then in the middle of it, he got into some clunky bullshit, some of it about the Amish, and then at the end of the episode he had a complete weirdo on to talk about chicken and make a legally actionable claim. Like I don't mean to like undersell that.
No, that's a crime.
I know that he's already in the past said the same stuff in like Periscopes. But this is different.
This is a crime.
This is different.
This is a crime.
Alex should not have let him on the show.
Uh-uh.
Because he knew he was gonna say this shit.
It's kind of what he does.
There's every reason as a show person, as someone who's curating a presentation, when you have a guest on, you have a slight responsibility to understand what they're gonna say.
Yeah.
And if they commit libel, it's a little on you.
Libel is usually an issue.
It's a little on you.
Usually.
No, that libel isn't print. Slander is when you say it, right?
There's a
difference.
Eh, whatever.
Who cares?
It's all the same shit.
Anyway, there's probably some crimes here. I don't know. Alex is so bogged down in lawsuits that who gives a shit? He's going to be busy for a while.
For sure.
Probably just going to let this one slide. Seth Green doesn't seem litigious. Who knows?
Eh, he's probably fine.
Anyway, I look forward to never...
seeing the next season of Chicken. Which is a very different show, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And never hearing about this dude ever again.
I doubt he's going to be in the new season of Robot Chicken. I'll tell you that right now.
Who hasn't worked in 2 years. Coming in to talk shit on his erstwhile friend.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, Jordan, this has been a lot of fun.
This has been a lot of fun,
Sorry,
Dan.
Sorry this went a little longer than expected.
Ah, it happens.
But we have a website.
Wait, our show went a little bit longer than expected?
I think we called that out at the beginning of the show.
Pretty much.
We have a website, knowledgefight.com, people can go to find stuff.
Indeed. You could also go to fillyourhand.com, or you could go to our Twitter page. It's at knowledge_fight.
Right. Not the best Twitter presence in the world.
Uh-uh.
But we're on
Especially since I completely deleted my social media presence entirely. So
I am not good at anything social media-wise. But we're on Facebook.
Indeed we are,
the only place where I actually think that there is consistent activity and regular engagement. And I'd also like to say, since we put the word out that the place to go is the group, Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant, we've seen a lot of traffic come in. We've seen some wonks and some listeners come on board who were probably just hanging out on the page and not knowing where the action was. And I appreciate it. We're up over 300 deep in that group now.
Hell yeah.
Which is great. Maybe it's not that many people total, but it's fucking awesome.
For our weird community, non-fan-having
comedians, one who's quit doing stand-up in the middle of Chicago recording in a bedroom, that's pretty fucking good.
That's not bad.
So thank you all for joining. And if you would like to keep more tabs on what's actually happening, the group is the way to go. Go home and tell your mother you're brilliant. It's a private group, but you can request. You'll get in.
Yeah. iTunes is where you can go.
Sure.
To
We're on Spotify.
We're not on Spotify.
No. I think all it would take is just me clicking a button, though.
You know what's actually – no, that's not true because I already submitted us for Spotify. They were super specific in who they chose.
They're Specify.
Hey, ooh, nice.
Well, you know, we don't do a great job with that stuff either. But
no, that's true.
Anyway.
What else do we got?
Nothing.
I think
it's your turn.
Is my turn?
No, I just say that every time.
Oh, okay. Well, I will tell you this, and I don't know why it is, but this entire episode to me – it seems like it's one guy's fault. And, I'm gonna go with, for being such weak bullshit that Alex had to call in this motherfucker, Mark Dice, go fuck yourself.
I'm fine with that.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.